It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth, and with me, as always, my co-host, my tag team partner, the mankind to my chainsaw, Charlie, Mr. Matt Scott. Matt, how you doing?
That was a deep cut. Go, you, Terry Funk. I didn't know Terry Funk was going to be referenced on this podcast, but I am happy to be here and happy to be the mankind here. I have some New York Times best-selling books. I have Have a Nice Day. It's all great.
You've been infamously thrown off the top of a Hell in a Cell,
and you've retired about 30 times. So that's great.
Matt, how's your week been?
It's been a long week.
It really has.
But the wrestling has been great to tune into, and I think we're gonna have a lot of fun this episode diving into the craziness as we lead into Mania.
Yes. Oh my God. It's like this last stretch. It's just like no matter what. Right. No matter if you're looking forward to something or, you know, you've been looking forward to something for a long time or if it just popped up. But like that last stretch before anything is always just feels like the hardest. Like no matter what, it always feels like it takes so long. It always feels like, oh, my gosh, what is going on? And I'm really glad that we're here. We're on the last stretch. WrestleMania is a week away. One more week, Matt.
Wow. You know what? I bet. And I think Vince McMahon agrees with that sentiment because I think sometimes he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know what he's thinking. He doesn't know what to expect. So, you know what? We're on the same boat with him and it feels good to feel what Vince is feeling.
To feel what Vince is feeling. Well,
71-year-old billionaire. We're just like him.
Yes.
Billionaires just like us.
Oh, I wish. So we have a week until WrestleMania, or a two-night WrestleMania. I don't know if you notice this, but they started referring to it as like WrestleMania Friday, WrestleMania Saturday, WrestleMania Sunday. They really have stopped with the night one and night two kind of branding.
They're doing too much. they always literally do too much, but they're definitely doing too much here. But sure, whatever, we'll go with it. Friday, yeah. Saturday, Sunday. Looking forward to it either way.
So what is your opinion on WrestleMania being
20 like, hours tonight? Long?
Yeah, well, no. Nah. Well, it's split up. Like, do you like the split night or would you rather have just the one?
No, I love having two nights of Mania, two shorter nights of Mania rather than like the marathon event. And for years, people have been complaining about that. But yeah, I would rather take multiple nights of Mania. It also seems like, and I saw this in passing, but I think Friday is going to be sort of like the kickoff of it all. So it's nice that we're not going to have to sit there for 20 hours straight.
Exactly. And that was exactly what I was going to get into next. So we have, they moved NXT TakeOver, like the WrestleMania for NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver. That's going to be Wednesday and Thursday. you know, that that used to be the Saturday before. Yeah. So it is literally WrestleMania week, Matt. It is WrestleMania week. So we got NXT night one of Stand and Deliver on Wednesday. We have night two of NXT Stand and Deliver on Thursday. Like you said, WrestleMania Friday will be considered like the kind of like the kickoff show. That's what SmackDown will be. And then we go into WrestleMania Saturday, aka night one, and WrestleMania Sunday. So like WWE is out here trying to really brand this whole week of wrestling. And I'm just like you said, I guess I would rather five short days than one 12-hour day, like honestly.
Yeah, I'm just glad that we don't, like, basically by Monday, we'll know what's happening at Mania. A lot's going to change. And
exactly.
That works for our podcasting, so that we don't have really to wait until Friday to know what the final card is. But I'm sure there'll be changes along the way. But I'm ready
card
for it.
Subject because to change. Yeah.
Card subject to change. But you know what? We always have fun with this, which I'm looking forward to Mania. I think if we... Maybe last year it would have been a dread to watch through all of it, especially with no crowd, no fan noise, no Thunderdome. But I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's go. Let's get this going. Ring the bell.
Exactly.
Ring the bell.
Ring the bell. So WWE is doing their version of WrestleMania week. So we have to do our version of WrestleMania week, right, Matt? So we are going to do an early podcast with the marvelous Bryce Isaiah, right,
what?
Matt?
Ding! The Purple Pants Badass. Yeah. The Purple Pants Badass is going to be here.
Purple Pants Posse, come through. We're going to do an Issa look with Bryce. Explain what we're going to be doing with Bryce a little bit, Matt.
So if you haven't tuned in for Issa look, it is basically Bryce, who is a casual, not a wrestling fan, looking through images of the different competitors at WrestleMania and basically letting us know, you know, who has their thumbs out, who has the right stance, and who looks like they're going to win for Mania. Because I have a feeling, I really believe in Bryce's technique, and I think he knows who's going to win at Mania. I think his predictions and his guesses might be better than ours. So that's what we're going to be doing. And it will actually be recorded. So you'll finally see our beautiful faces on video as we podcast. And that will be on the RHAP YouTube.
Yep. After that, we're still trying to figure it out, but we will be... Hopefully, I mean, maybe I'm saying this too far in advance, but we should be doing an IG takeover of the Rahat Grams Instagram sometime that week. We'll let you guys know as soon as we know, but hopefully we can do some fun things. I know when I plan to take over, I do want to do an Ask Me Anything. Maybe just like a peek behind the curtain, just fun stuff, taking over the RHAP Grams Instagram account. So go and follow them on Instagram.
Yeah, and when I take over, I'll just be cutting promos on everyone, probably calling people out, tagging Chappelle and others just to see how I could piss them off. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And then after that, we're going to do our mega WrestleMania preview show. We'll probably record that before WrestleMania Friday. Mm-hmm. So WrestleMania kickoff show, WrestleMania Prime, whatever they're calling it by next week, where we just go over the card as we'll know it by then, talk about what we think is going to happen, maybe think of some scenarios after WrestleMania. So that should be just a really big, fun preview show that just culminates all of our podcasting up until then. And then finally, we are very happy to announce that after each night, WrestleMania Saturday and WrestleMania Sunday, we will be going live on Stereo for just our quick reaction videos, just kind of like we did with the Elimination Chamber, hopefully about 30 minutes or so directly after the pay-per-view. We're going to give our unfiltered thoughts, and we want you guys to join in. Come follow us on Stereo. Come be a part of the show. That's why we want to use Stereo, because we want you guys to be a part of the show. If if you follow us on Stereo and you listen during Stereo, you can submit audio questions that we can play during the broadcast, and then we can talk to you and hear your thoughts, your opinions, and your questions. And then we'll feature you on the episode when we post it in our podcast feed. So that's directly after the show on Saturday and Sunday. Anything else, Matt? You excited for WrestleMania week?
I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's go. Let's get pumped up. Let's do it.
Yeah. So you can always send us emails at wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. You can join in the conversation on Twitter using hashtag WrestlingRehapUp. And you can always follow us on Twitter on our podcast account at WrestlingRehapUp. Matt, where can the people find you?
You can find me at Matt Scotch EW, and always you can find me in the RHAP patrons group and the unofficial group Job Has a Squadcast. I will mention that not only is April WrestleMania season, but it's also a great time to subscribe to the patron group, to become a patron of RHAP. I'm a patron, especially just because I love all the content, support what we're doing. And by being a patron, it's kind of funny because I'm actually also supporting what we're doing here. So it's kind of coming full circle there. But it's a great time to subscribe because when you subscribe, you'll be part of the patron program for the month, and you could try it out. And if you want to cancel at the end of the month, you could do that. But I think you'll find it's pretty awesome. And that's all I'll say about that. But Mari, want to pass it back to you. Where could folks find you?
You can find me at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. You can find me there on Twitter and on Stereo. So if you're on Stereo, you can find, you can look for my name under that as well. And yes, joining the Patreon now, it is the perfect time. It's the beginning of the month. You get the most bang for your buck. You get access to exclusive patron groups. You get early access to any of our patron feeds, our podcast feeds, patron only live podcast feeds. We do great patron games. I think it's like every other Friday and stuff. So it is really, it's really cool to be a part of the patron group and get exclusive content that we know you love from RHAP.
Shout out to Stella, Grace Leader, who is a big part of a lot of those games. The game master, if you will.
Stella, excuse you.
Let's do it. Excuse me. Excuse you. Excuse me. All of it. I don't even know. Look, it's been a while.
We also have a podcast feed, the Wrestling Rehapups podcast feed. Please go rate, review, and subscribe. Give us those 5 stars. You can also find us on the Reality TV Rehapups podcast feed. And if you leave us a review, we might read it on the podcast. Matt, I think it's your turn. Well, we have a guest here. Yeah.
We have a guest.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, this time it's not a surprise run in. I think we're ready.
Yes.
Let me get this ready. Whew. Making his way to the podcast, hailing from the great state of Texas, he is the co-host of the RHAP Rewind. He is a work of art, a beauty, and never a geek. And the first draft pick on the RHAP Battle of the Network podcast stars team. He's not a celebrity assistant, but he is our black henchman. Please welcome Chappelle.
I thought I was Sea Dog.
By the way, thank you for your commitment. Sea Dog has been around longer than the podcast has been around. Yes. So that's saying a lot. But thank you for being here.
Thank you, Matt. That is an incredible introduction. I had no clue I was a co-host of anything. So I'm very happy to be here.
You are. You're not a professional guest anymore. You're kind of like, you know, you're doing a thing.
I'm a professional guest. I just pop around. I'm happy that you guys have me this week because I was running out of places to guest at. So thank you for getting me back in rotation.
No problem. I'm just making sure they don't forget about you.
Please and thank you.
Right. Forget about Chappelle. Yes. They don't forget about Chappelle. What? That doesn't even make sense. Mm-hmm. In no world. Sea Dog, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm a little tired. I'm recently vaxxed. So, you know. Yeah, I know, right? I'm recently vaxxed. So I'm taking that little L that you got to take before you fully, you know, in your final form. So in about 2 weeks, I will be invincible.
Right,
still wearing a mask, still staying far away from people, but I would feel a lot more comfortable. And so I'm very happy with that. But yeah, overall, I'm good. I'm always in good spirits and always happy to talk to you too. Thank you for having me.
Chappelle, you should thank you. And thanks again for being here. And you should be in one of those WWE COVID ads that they've been running, because you've got all the talking points. Like, awesome.
I'm living the talking points.
I remember those ads. They seem very half hearted, those WWE COVID ads.
Stay away from people. Don't get tested. Don't get COVID. Meanwhile, we have
this close contact sport that we have to watch every week. It's like, wait a minute. We don't want you getting too close to people unless you're doing a suplex, you know?
They've had multiple outbreaks on. They've had multiple COVID-19 outbreaks.
Randy Orton coughing up COVID ink or slime or whatever that is. Interesting.
Oh my God, yeah.
It doesn't come off, you know, it doesn't feel like really genuine when you're telling people to stay away from each other while you're like, you know, tackling somebody and choking them out. I think their heart is in the right place for sure.
Chappelle, what did you think about this week's host of clips that we sent you?
Yeah, I like the clips. I have questions. So you guys know I'm a filthy casual, one of your first filthy casual guests that you had. Mm-hmm. And so I have like my mind is on what we talked about last time, some of the developments I've been kind of following on Twitter. And then what I saw in the clips from this last couple of weeks, I was like, oh, my gosh, what happened? I have questions. So I am very excited to dive into the clips.
Okay. And with that, I think it's about time. So we're going to get into our highlights of the week. Each week, we go over the different highlights from this week in WWE wrestling. This week, like we said, it is the road to WrestleMania. WrestleMania is here. So we are going to exclusively focus on WWE, specifically Raw, SmackDown, and then hopefully talk about NXT TakeOver, the card for NXT TakeOver, since it's the first main event that's coming up in the WrestleMania week. So for Raw, let's start with our Raw highlights of the week. We have to start with Bobby Lashley and MVP basically dismantling the Hurt Business. Like, this was interesting. So I would just like to point out that
I got angry texts about this, Mari. Shout out to Ryan, my friend Ryan, who texted me that 3 weeks ago, you apparently called Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, who's basically a gold medalist, chumps.
Basically.
Is that what you said?
I probably did.
You know Vince McMahon. You know Vince McMahon listens to this podcast.
Oh, I would hope not.
Can you imagine?
He might learn something if he does.
I mean, he might be listening.
Mari, you called an Olympic medalist a chump? How dare you?
First and foremost, Shelton Benjamin did not win an Olympic medal.
He said close,
which I'm like, how close is close? Like,
an Olympic competitor, an Olympian, you know, he still counts.
I don't think he was in the Olympics.
There
oh my gosh. Okay.
But
he knows
been.
Some people that were in the Olympics, right? He knows Kurt Angle. Okay.
That's gosh.
Put some respect on him. I was a lot of disrespect going his way on these clips from Raw. First of all, I was shocked to see that you know, the Hurt Business. This is a mess. I don't like for black folks to be airing their dirty laundry out in front of all these people, right? Like, keep that stuff in-house. It was so bad. I was like, they're up there in their suits, everybody like Again, I haven't been watching. So I was like, look at all these beautiful black people on stage. They're going to talk about how great they are as a stable, as a faction. Nope. Break it down. They just burned it to the ground. What happened? So, how did we get here?
You just really put something out there. We are seeing so much black on black crime in WWE right now. Oh my God. Now.
Don't you say, stop it. Because if this man is listening, you're going to get
literally like, okay, no.
You're going to validate a lot of things that don't exist. But yeah, there's a lot of fighting in the WWE. There's just more black people now to do it. That's what we'll say.
Biggie and Apollo. Okay. I see you, Vince.
Ridiculous. I didn't even think of that. All right. Anyway. Yeah, right?
It took us until episode 12. What is it?
I'm here to air it out. I'm here to air it out. Okay.
Wow. That's how you brought me in. Thank you.
I'm flipping tables.
Thank you.
The table. So the Hurt Business. The reason why I said that 3 weeks ago is I'm upset because remember we've been saying more than 3 weeks ago that Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander were the Raw Tag Team Champions. They were the Raw Tag Team Champions. They had been the Raw Tag Team Champions for a while then too. And they weren't on TV. Not only were they not on TV, like defending their championships, but they weren't even on TV with Lashley, which makes no sense. That's why the dismantling of the Hurt Business now just isn't as impactful because they just weren't even on TV. And that's what really pisses me off because, I like this implosion of the Hurt Business. Cause like I said, I did signal that 3 weeks ago. I was like, with Bobby Lashley, moving up to be the title holder, it looks like him and MVP are going to dump Cedric and, Shelton because they're essentially dead. They've been dead weight. And the reason why I said that was because WWE was literally using them as dead weight. Even when, Benjamin and, Cedric weren't on TV defending their titles, they should have been right next to Bobby Lashley that whole entire time. They really should have been. So I don't know why they weren't other than maybe because they had titles and at the time Bobby didn't. But I really don't like that they missed the prime opportunity here because the tag teams that were, on, TV every week, it was the New Day. It was the New Day and, New Day were going up against, the other group that just broke up, Revolution.
Retribution.
I know. It's been a long road to WrestleMania. So the New Day versus Retribution were on TV every week trying to fight for the right to basically face Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander. Then all of a sudden the New Day finished with Retribution and then got their fight with Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin and took the titles off of them. Immediately took the titles off of them. They moved on. They moved back to being lackeys for Bobby Lashley, but now without titles. So it was just, you saw it coming. And again, it's logical booking. I like logical booking. I don't mind. I said this before. I don't mind Bobby Lashley and MVP, dropping Cedric and, Shelton because now that they don't have the titles, there's no point. And it just pisses me off that they only had the overlap for them having the titles was like a week or two, it was like maybe 2 weeks. It was just long enough for them to get those pictures with all of them with the titles. And then they said, nope. Like, so it's very frustrating. I just think it could have been executed better. It's a great storyline that could have been executed way better.
Maybe I'm basic, but we don't need these dapper men in suits fighting. And I can watch on mute. I would love to watch the Hurt Business on mute just for those suits. And Vince McMahon doesn't like it. Vince McMahon doesn't like it for some reason. This bothers me so much because there is no explanation for why they broke up, especially a week and a half before WrestleMania or two weeks before WrestleMania. Like, why? Why did we have to do that? What? Maybe hopefully they'll get back together, but I'm hurt.
I don't know.
I was hurt.
The scary thing for me, real quick, Chappelle, is that I think they broke them up because I don't know if Bobby Lashley is retaining at WrestleMania.
What? Okay, listen. I think the same thing. I saw again, I don't know all the backstory, but Bobby is like, look, you guys were supposed to take out Drew McIntyre and couldn't, right? That's the story. Mm-hmm. First of all, yeah. I don't know how they failed, but it's two of y'all. Come on, stop it. So
Bobby,
Bobby dumps half his team right before he goes into WrestleMania. Like, that's not insane. Great. You're beefing with two people who you used to be closely aligned with. And from what I understand, Sheamus hates you too. So you got like four people against you the week before you go into the biggest event of your life. What are you talking about? This is horrible. I think this is a setup. They're trying to get Bobby out of here. Well, at least the title off.
Yep.
That's what I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And so after Bobby and MVP kick Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander out of the Hurt Business, Bobby and Shelton have a match. Bobby basically quickly disposes of the former possible maybe Olympian, not Olympian, Olympian.
Oh, he knows. Really not. Olympian. He's not. He knows. Stop it.
He could do Olympic things. That's all I'm saying.
He does Olympic things all the time.
I can't do that.
He's a lot closer. I'm sure he's went to the Olympics, I'm sure. Like, he's been.
Yeah.
Like, bought a ticket.
Yeah.
Totally.
Like, went. Yeah.
And then, or you could, like, Photoshop it.
So.
What?
Lashley and MVP, they continued their bounty, basically their bounty on Drew's head. They said anybody who takes out Drew will take his place at WrestleMania for the championship title, which again, this just points more and more to that. Bobby doesn't want to face Drew at WrestleMania. And then it's looking like this might be like one of the shortest reigns he's had. So it kind of sucks. But, Drew goes into the locker room. Drew goes into the locker room and starts yelling in people's faces like, who wants to face me? Who's going to take that bounty on? And he's basically just yelling at all the scrubs in the locker room. No offense to those people. I like those people, but, you know, they're a little tier below. And then so he ends up in a match with Ricochet. After he dispatches Ricochet, Mustafa Ali comes out of nowhere, and then he goes into a match with Mustafa, who I loved his match with Drew way more than I liked Ricochet's, because of course Ricochet is a good guy, so it's just two good guys. Mustafa is a bad guy, and Mustafa was aiming for his knee the whole time, and I'm like, this is what you should be doing. If you're trying to take somebody out of WrestleMania, a regular wrestling match is not going to do it. So throughout the regular wrestling match, Mustafa was aiming for the knee, chopping his knee, but he was eventually, you know, dispatched. And then of course King Corbin comes out of nowhere.
Starts
beating up on Drew. King Corbin is on SmackDown. So that's why everybody is like, what? Huh? Long enough for Bobby Lashley to come out and apply the Hurt Lock and, put Drew down. So, I do like this. I'm not gonna lie. I really do like this. I like the whole putting a bounty on your opponent's head type thing. It's just a lot of story in a short amount of time, I'm thinking. Chappelle,
yeah,
what do you think?
Yeah, go for it. Oh. Tell us, Chappelle, because I'm just frustrated by all of this. I don't get why Drew was picking fights, but maybe Chappelle, you can make some sense of this.
I mean, Bobby tested his gangster. That's why he was picking fights. You know, he's back there like, look, Bobby, I'm coming for you at WrestleMania, and there's nothing any of these scrubs can do about it. Mustafa is scary, so I actually think he should have been worried about that one. But especially after, you know, that previous fight, and then King Corbin comes out. You know, that happened. But I think the real issue here is that they making Bobby look scared of this guy. Like, mm-hmm. I don't like that. Like, Bobby, you're supposed to be the big bad wolf. When I was younger, I used to watch wrestling a lot. And I would like when, like, you know, like the young superstars coming up against Triple H, and Triple H seems kind of afraid. He's dispatching random DX people after these people to kind of keep them off of them. But I don't like that for Bobby Lashley. I don't like that. So it's hard for me to watch, because you can kind of see the writing on the wall. I do like that he did the Hurt Locker thing to him like a billion times, even when he was like dead already. It gives me like, again, to bring back to Kurt Angle, it gives me big Kurt Angle vibes with like the ankle lock, you know, like, will he snap his ankle? Oh my God, like, get off of him. You know, it's like, it's a little bit more effective when you think his ankle is going to snap. Like, I knew he wasn't going to, like, you know, choke him to death. So I mean, he's already passed out. So, I mean, you can't pass him out even more. But the sentiment is still there. We want to weaken this man before WrestleMania because we're terrified of him. Like, that's not what I want for Bobby Lashley. He's not supposed to be terrified, like, of anybody. Like, not from my point of view. So, I don't know. Maybe because I'm terrified of him, maybe that's how I feel. Maybe I'm projecting. Who knows? What about you, Matt? What you got?
Yeah, no, I'm just going through my head trying to think of the last time. Because we see this Actually, I think a lot in WWE, but I can't put my finger on when, and maybe Mario, you can. Like, when we have someone who's definitely strong enough to fight on their own, to do their own thing, and yet they're just like padded by all of these other people seemingly for no reason. That's how I feel about Lashley, but I don't get why they do this. He could just show up and beat Drew. He's good enough.
Roman is doing this exact same thing right now, but it's just a different feel to it. And that's just the difference. It's coming off scared. But again, I actually still think it comes off logical, because if you think about how Lashley got the championship to begin with, he basically choked out Drew, let Miz cash in the Money in the Bank championship so that Miz would take the title. And then Bobby had set up so that he could take the title from Miz. So even in the beginning of this story, we're kind of being told that maybe we shouldn't be looking at it as Bobby is scared. Maybe we should be looking at it as Bobby's trying to work smarter, not harder.
Bobby's strategic. Yeah. I think it comes off scared to me, though, because I don't get all that background, right? So I'm just coming in seeing this big, huge guy, like, dispatching all these randos, his enemy that he's going to fight at the biggest event ever. However, like, you brought up Roman earlier, and Roman's more like, he has, like, his family that he's dispatching, you know?
Yeah.
And as you can see, Bobby's just like, anybody, take him out. Just please. It seems so much more desperate as opposed to, like, I'm the kingpin and people are doing work for me. This is more like, no. If you do this, I will give you a title match, and I'd much rather fight you than him. That's how it's coming off to me.
Exactly. That is true. So, again, it is at least it's all logical. They are putting a lot of this has happened just in the last Elimination Chamber was like 6 weeks ago, something like that. Right. So it's a lot of story in a short amount of time. And it is just on the cusp of feeling rushed, like just on the cusp. I think 6 weeks is not that bad to build out a story like this. But it like we were talking about in February, it felt like Drew was not doing much. You know what I'm saying?
No.
And then all of a sudden it's just like, it just is going. So.
Yeah, but also that's kind of something that we saw for a lot of people at that point. It really felt like they were spinning their wheels for like about 3 weeks, three solid weeks between like Elimination Chamber and then after that, where they just, I don't think they knew what they wanted to do and what direction they wanted to go in. But when they figured that out, like, that did inject a lot of life into it. And so it is cool it was cool to say, oh, we don't know who's going to take Drew out, but someone's going to try to take him out. Not excited about it being Corbin. I don't know. I don't know what kind of relationship he has with Vince McMahon, but I have questions because I don't see it.
I mean, Corbin is just a steady hand, kind of like Miz is, which is kind of weird. Like, knowing Corbin in NXT and how he was in NXT, he seemed very much like a out for himself, going to business for himself kind of person. But since he's been on the main roster, he really is.
Yeah.
He is one of those people that Vince can plug in and play and use to however he feels like it. And it's okay, I guess. It's not bad.
He was great in NXT, but then, you know, since coming up to the main roster, he's been so weaselly, and he's gotten a lot better because he's had time, really right? But it's just like, I'm just annoyed. It's that X-Pac heat.
It's X-Pac heat, but I liked him as Constable Corbin. That was like my favorite gimmick.
You like an outdoorsy person or something? Is that what you were into?
What do you mean?
Did you like the little hat, his little constable hat?
No. Okay, so you clearly didn't see that run. It was when he finally had stopped putting
his
on
his little constable badge.
His what really? When he had started wearing the Park suits Ranger. and he was wrestling in suits, and he finally let go of that hair. Thank the good Lord.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever saw Baron Corbin. He used to have like long hair, but it was just, it was barely there. It was barely there. I don't know how somebody can have long hair but still be balding.
He had like the white Stevie Wonder, like the party in the back with nothing in the front. Yeah, okay.
It might as well have been. And like people have been screaming at him to to shave that hair off for the longest. And he finally came up to the main roster. They made him, they put him into an authoritarian position, calling him Constable Corbin. He showed up to Raw one day, freshly shaved head, suited up, and everybody hates that run, but that is my favorite run from him, because he literally would say the truth. Like, he was one of those heels that said the truth, but everybody still hated him. And I loved it. I really did.
It just felt so random.
He sounds like the Police to me. I don't know. So I don't know. But I have a question about Constable or King Corbin at this point, right?
Yeah, King Corbin. Now,
does he get credit for taking out Drew in this moment? Because like, he did the work that Bobby was dispatching him to do. I mean, Bobby, ended up jumping in. But does he get any credit for this? Is Bobby like, no, I guess I'll still fight Drew at WrestleMania? That was happening here.
I don't know. My guess would be we show up to Raw on Monday and then King Corbin comes out like, yes, I did it. I did what nobody else could do. And maybe they do even a faux contract signing or something. We're men of our word. Let's sign the contract and it'll be Bobby Lashley versus King Corbin. And then Drew comes out and kicks butt and dude, like, I'm still standing. That's how I would book it personally.
We're going to see Corbin get wrecked by Drew. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Okay. This sounds good. I'm excited.
Yes. So, great. I mean, that honestly was the highlight of Raw for me. I really liked, that whole storyline playing out, this week.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Our next highlight is Miz and John Morrison, the mayor of Slamtown. What's his other titles, Matt?
George Bushy of Tushy, yeah, mayor there it of is. Slamtown. Yeah. Look, there's a lot of good names for this man. And you know what? Shout out to him. Shout out to him and The Miz for their dance skills, because this music video, which I'm really curious to hear you talk about it, Mara, that was a good song. Like, look at that beat and those bunny suits. And they were dressed in all white, like angels. Like, come on.
They premiered their video for Hey Hey Hop Hop, which was basically a Bad Bunny diss record. And... So
don't be a hater. Don't
I
be
was
a
like,
hater.
How dare
You're
you?
Be a hater.
How dare
Wrestling
you?
Is fun, Mari. Wrestling
how
is fun.
How dare you? Those were bars. That man said, our rhymes are sweet, but our lucha's nasty. Bars. Get out of here, Mari. You're a hater.
Where's their Grammy? You're a hater. Let's go.
Hakuna Matata, como te llamas, dos piñatas, waka waka, bars. They were spinning. I was like,
we hop a little,
horses.
We hop a lot. Hey, we hop a lot. You can't be stopped.
Oh my God. I was like, hey. Take that. Bad boy, baby. That little reggae song going on. Okay.
And the twerking. Right. And the twerking.
The song wasn't that bad. I will give that to you guys. The song was actually not that bad.
Thank you.
The video lacked a little bit of imagination, guys.
Are you a music video producer?
Right. So you're the expert now. Oh, my gosh. You know what?
We're in a pandemic, today. Mari. We're in a pandemic.
Matt, you didn't tell me I was coming to a hostile environment today.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize that Mari was going to go off on this future Grammy Award winning song.
She's not a fan of the arts. And y'all could have told me that before I came here. You should just say that, Mari.
This has been a long road to WrestleMania.
You are on so many different shows. You watch Big Brother Canada. You watch 90 Day Fiance. You watch The Circle. You watch all of it. And this isn't the most entertaining thing you've seen all week.
Oh, calm down. Calm down, Mari.
Calm down.
I'm sorry. Okay. You're right. Positive vibes only. No.
I will point out, I didn't appreciate. Or maybe I did appreciate. I don't know. We'll see how it ages. But you know, they edited in the huge crowds, COVID crowds into the music video. I don't know.
I'd rather them actually go to the huge crowd. So
who are those random people?
I don't know. I wonder if they just took like audience footage from other like WrestleMania events or WWE events. But it was. Again, just them. They were only on the stage, like the Raw stage, doing their weird hey hey hop hop dance, which I don't think that's going to catch up on.
Did you just say it was weird?
It was. It was a little weird. They were just doing like a little hop, a little shimmy. It was not much. Like the TikTokers, if they did want to catch on to this, it'd be real easy for them.
You're not even on TikTok. And by the way, let me just point out, I'm not taking this. And also, if The Miz knew he was going to get this abuse from you, Mari, he should have just gone to be on the Challenge All-Stars. Come on. Him and Mark Long and Trishelle could mix it up. He doesn't need to be here getting this from us. He hops a little. He hops a lot. We hop a little. Let's respect it.
I'm pretty sure he's getting paid way more to be in that bunny suit than the All-Stars. But I was actually thinking this when I watched it. So they premiered their video. It was a lot of fun. It really was. They were like dancing in the ring. John Morrison, God bless him. Because the rhythm.
There's a reason. There's a reason they call him the George Bushy of Tushy.
The rhythm is lacking, but the charisma is there. So I get it. I get it. And Bad Bunny and Damian Priest come out. They call Miz and Morrison a few words. And then Bad Bunny destroys their little sign they had. And I was really thinking this. So Miz is literally going one-on-one with Bad Bunny at WrestleMania. And two things I get from that. They trust Bad Bunny's training enough for him to be in a one-on-one match. That's like crazy good. Like, even if we all know that Damian and John are going to, you know, hop in it, we know that, literally. That's still, like, a big spot. For that to be a one-on-one match at Mania for a celebrity, like, I mean, that's going back to Mania roots, just giving him that one-on-one match. And then, two, Miz is the one who was chosen for that spot. Like, a lot of people look down on celebrity matches, which, again, like, we've pointed out into the past, rightfully so for some of them, but that is a huge spot. That is the biggest selling artist in the world right now, the most streamed Spotify artist globally, and Miz is sharing a ring with him. Miz is getting that exposure. Miz is we all have been saying it, Miz is like the face of the company, the second face of the company, should I say. So like to be in that position, that's such a godsend. And I was thinking like John Morrison came back to the WWE basically to just be on Miz's side. And I'm wondering, like, he has to be fulfilled doing that because no matter what, this program is, they're getting paid a lot of money for this program.
That man, John Morrison, is having a lot of fun. Did you see how Johnny Drip Drip was dressed?
Yes.
From the waist down, he was like Bubba Ray Dudley. And from the waist up, he was a lot like one of those Nickelodeon, all that blimps. Yes. Like, what? I was impressed. He's having fun.
Fire. That jacket was flames. That bubble jacket, that orange one, man. I was like, give me that. Yeah.
I thought for a second, is it Halloween? That pumpkin look was
disrespect. Mm. That was not a pumpkin look. That was fire. That was flame. That was fashion. You just don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not complaining. He makes it look the pump. Mm.
Street fashion.
It's really the mullet that throws me off. But we don't have to get into that.
His hair is so big. It's full of secrets.
You could tell. I like this, you guys. I like that this track could have been for any random rabbit, right? Like, it's Easter, mm-hmm. and this could have very well been an Easter Bunny diss track.
Because
everything in the track was like bunny themed. Everything was rabbit themed. They were like, didn't your cousin lose a race to a turtle? Like, I was like, oh, is he coming for the Easter Bunny? Is he coming for Bugs Bunny as well? Like, what are we doing here? So yeah, it was fun to listen to. But do you, like, if this was a one-on-one match at WrestleMania, like, we have to know that, like, Bad Bunny cannot win this match. If he beats The Miz in this match, I lose all respect for The Miz as a wrestler. You've been doing this your entire life. The Miz has been wrestling his entire life. Since he was a child, he wanted to be a wrestler. And now you're going to let a pop star come in and beat you? Absolutely not. The Miz got to handle business at WrestleMania or he's dead to me. I'm sorry. I can't respect that. I don't care if he gets jumped by three or four people to keep Bad Bunny relevant in this match. And, you know, like the shenanigans, The Miz, you have to win this match. I just cannot allow it. I'm sorry.
Who's going to tell him?
I'm just trying to figure out. No. I'm trying to figure out who has a better chance. Like, who has a better chance of beating Bad Bunny? Is it The Miz or is it the Easter Bunny? I want to figure this out because I didn't even, Chappelle, we have to go back. What, do you think WWE booked Bad Bunny? There's so many opportunities that they missed when it came to Easter. And I just feel like maybe there's like a swerve coming. Maybe we're going to see the Easter Bunny attack him on Monday. We need something. We need some heat in here. Let's come full circle. It's right there. It's right there, WWE. Vince McMahon, I think he listens because he hears his ears ringing.
Yeah. So if I remember correctly, celebrities have a way better track record, especially at WrestleMania, than the wrestlers. The only thing we can hope for is that there's enough shenanigans that can, have Miz save face. But honestly, again, I think he's getting paid to stare at the lights for Bad Bunny if it happens. I really do. And I think they are having fun. I think Miz and John Morrison are having fun. And again, as I was thinking about it, John Morrison has literally done everything in the wrestling biz. Like he's been on every promotion. He's won every championship imaginable. And I was just thinking, I was like, does he feel some type of way by not being in the WWE title picture? But honestly, he's just such a veteran type of wrestler that I think he's okay. I wouldn't see him not being content with this. I know he signed a big contract getting paid to just goof around with his best friend. So I really like this storyline. I really do. It's just so fun.
And just to like add to that, I mean, if you saw him on Survivor, you know that he is like, he's just a nice guy. Like, you don't get the sense from him. Like, I'll compare him to Sasha Banks. Sasha is hungry for championships and she knows it's a work, but at the same time, she is hungry to be the best. John Morrison, I think he's just happy to be flipping around and doing his parkour thing and entertaining people and having a good time with probably his best friend. So I think this is a great spot for him. You need people who fill in roles like this, and he's doing a good job. Yeah. And I wasn't, this is the most excited I've been for John Morrison since his return. So I'm a fan.
We move on to our next feud, our next highlight. We get Asuka and Rhea Ripley signing their contract for WrestleMania. I'm going to be real brief on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they signed their contract. Great. Like, I still have a
next huge, segment.
I know. I just have a huge problem with, like, newbies coming in and challenging for the title off top again at WrestleMania. It is just without earning it, should I say. But it just really is like, again, where do you go from here once this happens? Like, I can't see Rhea losing this just because Asuka's reigns are always just non-existent. But yeah. Rhea wins. You're the champion. So now do we go into you defending your title where every single one of your challengers tell you how you do not deserve to hold that title? You know what I'm saying? Like, I just am not a fan of championship reigns like that. Like, I don't feel like you should be trying to prove yourself while you're the champion. I like chasing reigns where you are steadily going up the ladder before you get the title. That's just how I am. That's just how I personally look at it. Matt, how do you feel about the Asuka and Rhea match coming up at WrestleMania?
Something about it, you know what it is? It doesn't feel new. So we saw Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania last year against Charlotte. So this isn't even her WrestleMania debut. We've seen her in the Royal Rumble. We've seen her on Survivor Series. Like, what is new about this, really? I just kind of feel like the excitement kind of comes out of the, you know, it's like letting the air out of the balloon when we've already seen a lot of it from her. But I disagree in that I'm okay with someone proving themselves as the champion, but not Rhea Ripley. Like, now you're going to make fun of me. But like, the type of thing that I remember growing up that I liked was like seeing out of nowhere someone I had no clue about, at least Gail Kim debuts, wins a women's battle royal, wins the women's championship, is then proving herself out of that. Like, to me, that's fun, but not someone who is already a proven quantity in all of this. So, it's wrestling. Let's have fun. This is going to be a fun match next week. Yay. No, this is, I'm not excited. And by the way, I saw some people on Twitter saying, oh, I hope one of the women's matches could be the main event. It's like, oh, there's a little bit of a difference between this match and Bianca and Sasha. I've got.
There's a lot of bit of a difference. And okay, we're not even going to get into that hypothetical.
No, we don't need
Chappelle,
to.
Would you want to tell us a little bit about what you think about the Asuka and Rhea thing so that I can then dispute everything Matt just said?
No, I just wanted to care a lot about it, and I couldn't because of the whole Nia Jax thing, right? Like, we're trying to get to the Asuka. Like, I'm like, oh, okay, Asuka's finally going to, you know, retain this title, and it's going to be cool. Like, I don't know Rhea Ripley like that. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be dope. Right. I like Asuka. But then, like, Nia and Shayna, they come out and they're like, oh, we're about to like have a tag match with you now, just as you just got beat up in the and now it's the two of y'all versus us. And this is 1 week before WrestleMania. Asuka has no business in a match like this. If she's really like serious about retaining her title, she should be staying away from, you know, the big bad wolves and, you know, the tag team champions, right? Yes. It's insane. It didn't make sense. And there's no reason for her to agree to something like that, considering she just got beat up by Rhea Ripley. Let me tell you something, Asuka. You're the champion. Ooh. You can't let Rhea Ripley slap you around and then you just lay on the mat, just all helpless in the ring and then agree to, like, you are the one who knocks. You're at the top. So you're supposed to like get up and slap her around or like be like, I'm not fighting with you this week, or leave her out to dry or something. You know, that's your opponent for next week. You're supposed to take this seriously. So I didn't love that because I really wanted to care about the match, and it was just so distracting. I have a lot of opinions about these women's wrestling matches now, because I feel like they need more titles. Like, everybody is either going for the women's title or everybody's going for the tag team title. And there's so much, it's so convoluted. Like, how am I going to have a tag team match against somebody, like a mixed tag team match almost with a random partner? And I'm the champion and they're the champions, but we of course wouldn't want to win these tag team champions because we are opponents against each other for my title. Like, what are you talking about? And so it's like almost like they need more things to go after, like a women's intercontinental title or something like that. Not to say that women should be able to win the regular intercontinental title, but I just feel like they're like almost all fighting for one thing or two titles. And so it's all so convoluted to where we don't even know where one feud ends and the next one begins. So that was kind of my takeaway.
I'm fired up.
I'm fired up right now. I'm so, Mari, I'm sorry.
No,
no, let me just say something right now. I'm pissed right now. I'm pissed because number one, Asuka was in a Foster Farms corn dog commercial. They put her in a corn dog commercial. She's supposed to be taken seriously. So they did that. Then we had to wait 2 hours and 8 minutes. I wrote it down. 2 hours and 8 minutes before we saw a women's segment on the show. We got Alexa, but she was doing her thing with Randy Orton in the feed. 2 hours and 8 minutes. What is going on? And we got like 10 minutes of the women's segments on the show. What is going on? What are they doing? And she's in a Foster Farms corn dog commercial.
You are really upset about that Foster
Farms. I am. Do you see my face right now?
Well, devastated.
a few things. So Rhea Ripley being at WrestleMania last year didn't mean anything because she wasn't on the main roster. She literally is on the main roster 2 weeks ago and is facing for the belt at Asuka, against Asuka. She was still in NXT when she made that WrestleMania debut, and she only made the WrestleMania debut because Charlotte had to face her for the title that she did beat the crap out of her for and took, which just really buried her. It really did. So my thing about the Rhea and Asuka dynamic is Rhea disappeared basically after the Charlotte lost. She has been vocal about how she was pushed to the moon just to lose to Charlotte to then be not used and then just felt like she disappeared. I'm trying to think of what she did, the last thing she did on NXT before she even came to the main roster, other than the really good showing at the Royal Rumble. She did really good. Really good showing at the Royal Rumble. But other than that, she wasn't really doing much. So again, for her to just come straight off of NXT for a match for Asuka, and we all know that this was not, they're even saying that this was not the original plan. It was supposed to be Charlotte versus Asuka. It was supposed to be Charlotte versus Asuka, but Charlotte is going through a lot right now. She's going through a lot. So Charlotte is not going to be on the show. And they pivoted to Rhea, which is fine. But no matter what, Asuka was penciled to lose this title, I think.
Just to add to that, and I don't know I don't know why they debuted her before Mania. Especially 2 weeks before Mania. Like, I get the build, but there are, as we, you know, we'll talk about SmackDown later on, but we saw all of these other women come out vying for the tag team championship, seemingly. Put one of them in that spot. Build a star. If you're going to do this, like, sure, I'd rather have a throwaway match with someone who could be a star that's built by taking on Asuka than Rhea Ripley. And again, I don't think she's being, I don't know. It takes a lot to be built by beating Asuka at this point with how they've kind of dragged her through the corn dogs.
We'll see. So that's where I was going, because I still do feel this is a character building feud. That's the whole point. The thing is, it's just 2 weeks before WrestleMania. We basically know she's taken the title off of Asuka. And again, she's going to have to continue that build as the champion. And if the story is not told right, then like it won't be appealing to me. Just me personally. Again, I do not like when your champion is seen as the underdog. Why is your champion the underdog? To me, I just don't like that type of storyline. But Nia and Shayna coming out, again, this makes sense. I agree. If they were not the tag champions and if they weren't doing so well, they've been doing great for the past year, the one of the two of them should be main eventing for the title. Well, not main eventing, wrestling for the title. So I like this, because if I'm going to guess where they go, just like Chappelle said, Asuka didn't agree to that. Remember, Rhea agreed to it for the both of them. Asuka was still on the floor like clutching her jaw. So what I hope happens is we get Shayna and Nia, Rhea is in first. Rhea gets beat up. She goes to tag Asuka, and Asuka jumps down off the Rhea's apron and leaves her. That would be perfect booking. Asuka laughs and walks away. Rhea gets beat up by Shayna and Nia. You have your tag team champions looking strong going into WrestleMania, because they'll probably lose. My guess would be they lose. And then as soon as they lose the tag titles, one of them is going after Rhea. She's going to have to go up against them as her first title defense. And that's what I personally want to see. I hope that's how it plays out. But I agree, Chappelle. We were talking about how a few weeks ago NXT debuted tag team belts for their women's division, which really didn't make much sense to us since they only had like six teams to begin with, and mm-hmm. how we were saying we wish that they had debuted like a women's intercontinental championship belt, because I agree with you. I do wish they had some more like a secondary title, but I also do kind of like how they use the tag titles to kind of flow into the championship matches. I think they've been doing a solid job with that. They ever since Bayley and Sasha had the tag titles, and then they had all the belts and stuff like that. I don't mind it. I honestly don't mind the overlap, but it does kind of defeat the purpose if you've made those tag titles to give other women opportunities other than the main belt, but then you're using all of the women who could reasonably go for the main belt in the tag division.
And the tag matches.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense. I completely agree with what you're saying there.
Yeah, and just to add to that, like it's always ridiculous to me when they add more tag belts, especially because WWE barely cares about tag teams or they're on and off. It's like,
yeah,
okay, I get it. It's like, okay, let's get more people on the show, but it's like doomed from the start.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It really is. Any last thoughts before we move on from this subject that I said was going to be quick? That was nowhere near quick.
I liked what Reggie was wearing. He had his little purple pants, kept man kind of suit on. So very fitting. Black henchman still. Were Cedric and Shelton black henchmen? Did we figure that out?
No, I don't think they technically are. They were it was almost a faction.
Yeah,
And they weren't good at it. They couldn't even take out Drew. It's two of y'all. Shelton Benjamin's been wrestling for 50 years. Like, come on, man. You could take out Drew with a partner.
Chappelle, last week they lost the handicap match to Drew, which is just so insane. Embarrassing. It's so embarrassing.
They deserve to get fired.
So, they do not count as black henchmen. I still want our merch shirts to say black henchmen.
I want one. I would buy it today. Take my money.
Oh my god. Next up, I'm really curious to hear Chappelle's take on Randy Orton and The Fiend. A storyline is continuing. This has been, I remember you were here for the beginning with us when The Fiend was first burned alive. So I really want to know your take on how it's been going. The two highlights that we have this week is basically Randy Orton saying, okay, he now understands what he's going up against. He's going up against a demonic hell demon, and that at WrestleMania it's going to be the end. He's finally going to put The Fiend to rest. And then we get a really good promo by Alexa Bliss explaining the whole Jack in the Box type of thing, and that The Fiend is trapped, and holy crap, was that a scary highlight. Like, I was watching that live, the Alexis Playground, when she's just talking about the Jack in the Box, and the Jack in the Box pops up, and then the camera just pans out, and The Fiend is just right chilling right there next to her. I legit was like, oh.
What Wikipedia page was she on, like, earlier in the night? She told some story, I didn't catch it because I was just watching it live, and I was so confused what she was talking about at the start of that promo. But
she's talking about historically Jack in the Boxes were called like demons in a box, and that they were originally when they were first originally made, it was to like trap souls. Like it was told that trapped souls would be in the Jack in the Box, and that's why when they pop out, it kind of be scary. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty cool. I should have looked to see if it was true, but who cares? At this point, lie to me. Chappelle, what did you think?
Yeah, I was here at the beginning of this when it was Bray Wyatt, that was his name. Yeah, and I was like, oh, I like this guy and I like the feed. I was very happy, but oh my God, I'm back again. And this is crazy. Randy Orton sounds terrified. I was talking about Bobby Lashley being afraid, but no one is more afraid to fight right now than Randy Orton. He has to do this. Like, he feels like he's doing us all a service by getting rid of the Fiend because the Fiend is the devil. But make no mistake, he is scared, and I don't blame him. Alexa Bliss's promo was incredible. I don't remember her being so dark last time I was talking about. Like, it looks like he has slowly started to like really take control of her to the point where like her face makeup is darker and all this other stuff. Like, they're almost one and the same. And I know it used to be where, you know, like the lights would cut off and he would just have like, you know, possessed her. But now it seems like they're just kind of walking around in the same body. But when they zoomed out and I saw this man's corpse standing next to her, I was done. I was like, oh, God. Oh, my God. Randy, get help. Help. I was not happy. Man, I miss Bray Wyatt so much. I don't know. Are we ever getting Bray Wyatt back? Because the Fiend is, I'm a Fiend fan, but I'm a little afraid. I don't know what to tell you.
They haven't posted any of the fast lane like video yet, but basically, you know, when he got burned at TLC, you know, we were talking about how Alexa was doing the promos back and forth with Randy, and she was definitely she kind of stopped with the switching. Like, she was originally switching between regular Alexa and then demonic Alexa, and then she just slowly, her makeup got more gaunt and pale. She slapped in those contacts. I don't even remember when she just showed up with them. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, cool. This is creepy. And then, at Fastlane, we finally got the return of the Fiend, and basically, the Fiend rose out of the ring, grabbed Randy Orton's, ankle, and it was just burned Fiend from there on out. So, I think, Bray Wyatt is officially gone. There is no The Fiend Bray Wyatt. It is just The Fiend. I don't think we'll get any more talking points from The Fiend. I think Firefly Funhouse is done. I think it's just probably going to be Alexa's playground from now on. And that man is scary. That man is scary. And I'm just hoping that he wins at WrestleMania. I don't see any way he does not win at WrestleMania. And just, I hope they have like a Buried Alive match or just something really cool, like another Funhouse match or something where Randy is just put in a casket, maybe. I don't know. But I want it to be something really just off the books, and Randy's just done. So maybe another fire, put him in a coffin, set the coffin on fire or something like that. We want blood now, WWE. This is what you've done. This is how you started this storyline. We are calling for blood. Yeah, but just so good.
We need an intervention or an exorcism or a prayer circle or something. But like, to quote The Fiend, yowie wowie, like, come on, this is getting wild. It's getting a little surreal. And I don't know. I'm just a little freaked out. I need things to go back to normal. We need to let's just get the world back to normal. Let's get Alexa back to Little Miss Bliss and the not scary contacts and pigtails, and we'll be good.
Yeah. And I think I'm really starting to realize that with this storyline, I don't care about people fighting just to fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, I now think I love my storylines to be this fantastical, like with Randy Orton and The Fiend, like just so overly fantastical that you know it's not real, that you have to play into it. Or I like my feuds with a little bit of like real, like, you know, the backstory to it behind it. But this whole fighting for the sake of fighting because you have a title, just fighting to fight, does not draw me anymore. Because of the reality era of wrestling, we know all these people's business, all of their lives. So I feel like you have to take something from their life and kind of turn it up. And that is more appealing than trying to make a regular feud from whole cloth and just saying like, oh, we hate each other, so we're going to fight. Like, for example, again, I like the Sasha and Bianca storyline because it takes a real life situation. They both respect each other, but now they are realizing that it is one-on-one, and that, you know, they each have different motivations as to why they want to win at WrestleMania. This is so fantastical that it, you just have to believe in it. The Tian Sha is so fantastical. You have to believe in it. Seth versus Cesaro fighting does nothing for me. Like, even though I, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I know they are great in-ring tacticians. I know that it's going to be a great match. They've had great matches. But again, that just does nothing for me personally. And I'm not going to judge anybody if they like that. And I'm not, you know, feel free to judge me on that if you want to. I just, I need a little bit more when it comes to my wrestling matches personally. And this is what it's come to for me. I know a lot of people don't like this Fiend stuff because they think it's too fantastical and he looks dumb and it's just kiddie stuff. But I really like it.
Man, them people are incorrect. Okay. I like to move the story a lot. Like you, like move the story. Like if we have created a demon, then you gotta be a demon. Like we missed the days of the Undertaker, you know, kidnapping Stephanie McMahon and all this other stuff. Like, oh my gosh. And like Triple H and her like getting married to him when she like could pass out. Like, we know that stuff's not real now, but it was just the idea back then that this stuff could really be happening that, you lean into the storyline. Yeah, mm-hmm. The Undertaker is not dead. We know this. He ended up riding a motorcycle one time, you know, like for a whole stint. He just was like, I'm not dead anymore. I'm riding a motorcycle. We're like, okay, cool. You know, like Kane, we've seen him like buried alive. We've seen him burnt. We've seen him come, you know, dead. We've seen him alive. And we're okay with that. So, yeah. Exactly. So give me the Fiend and all of its fantasticalness. Isms, you know, give me all of that. Or like you said, make it something that I can latch onto in real life. Another reason why we liked Kane and the Undertaker story was because they were quote unquote brothers. So it's like, oh, look, the two brothers and their father, Paul Heyman or whatever, you know, whatever the little story was.
Yeah,
Paul Bearer or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever. Point of the pause. You know, like, you know, it's ridiculous. Like, these people are probably never related and it's fine. You know, like, we are okay.
Yeah.
And it was fun. It was fun. It made these days more fun. And so, yeah, I'm with you on this one. Either give me like a detailed intertwined story of like a long time feud, or give me a story that I can latch on to and say, this is fun to watch. But yeah, just, you know, I'm feeling bored. So I feel like calling out this person. Okay, that's fine. But it's not going to draw me that in as much as something like this.
Yep. So just some quick storylines to watch. New Day Game Night. Chappelle, I included it. I know you love your Black henchmen, and the original Black henchman is Omos. AJ Styles. Omos, yeah. His AJ and Omos go to test their team skills on New Day, does like a little game night. They play charades. It's really funny. It's just a funny storyline. AJ and Omos are going to be facing New Day for the Raw Tag Team Championships at WrestleMania. I don't know why I'm giving all my predictions like we're not also going to do a WrestleMania preview. I got to stop.
No, we don't have to get into that. No, we don't have to get into that. Yeah, we can talk about what we saw, and it's definitely Omos not having a lot of words for the New Day. And New Day is all about fun and games. He would not agree with us about our fantastical storylines at all. Yes. Omos is here to fight.
Yes,
you know.
Matt, so disappointed.
Matt, how did you feel about Omos just completely disregarding the game?
I was looking forward to him being the Bob Ross of WWE. Like, I thought he was going to come out and like surprise us. Commentators, especially Corey Graves, can't help but talk about how we're going to be surprised by Omos at WrestleMania. And he just stood there and he didn't even like, I'm just upset. He didn't even like know what the Lion King was. He didn't. It's like, come on, just play the game. We want to see what you have in store. Be a good sport. Mm-hmm. I was so disappointed by him.
Oh, he almost is about that action. He about that action. He about them hands. He not trying to talk to y'all. He don't look. He see the New Day. There's more black on the crime going on here. He see the New Day. He see the New Day for what they are. He's like, y'all like all of this jumping around. AJ Styles is into it, but no, almost is about to punch you. And that's what he's here to do. I'm excited to see him.
Yeah. Well, you made that point. I appreciated that. I like when, like, there's logic. Like, again, Bianca Belair has been great with the logic, but also Omis was great with, like, stop with the games. We're not here for the games. We're here to fight. So why are we going to do all of this? But I do appreciate New Day's game night and them trying to do something there. But AJ just came out on the short end of this one. I feel like everyone else had a great night. He just ended up kind of, you know, being squashed in that. He tried.
Yeah, this is just going to be a really fun match. I am interested to see Omis wrestling. I would love to see some really cool type of
moonsault
or something. Yeah.
I want him. No, I want him to be a high flyer. Like, I'm assuming
if he is,
I will cry. I will cry.
If he stands on that turnbuckle, it's going to take me out. Okay.
Like, who's going to catch him?
No one. I just need him flipping all over the place. That's honestly, if I don't get that, I'm going to be disappointed.
Is it the sommelier who does all the flips? Like if Omis goes full sommelier and he just starts
teach him in the Black Henchman support group.
Black Henchman group chat. Yeah.
And speaking of the sommelier, the former sommelier, the current bae, we got Shayna versus Naomi, a quick match. I think this came about because Naomi and Lana were talking about how they kind of want to rematch for the belts. We just got a quick match with her and Shayna. Naya and Reggie were there. And then actually the sexy muscle friends were on commentary. Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose.
I don't want to say anything mean. I'll tell you what I wrote down.
Say it.
Mandy say Rose it. Is not electric on commentary.
Oh my
Mandy
God.
Is
no,
very serious and monotone. And that's all I wrote about that. I feel bad for Dana Brooke too, because she is what she is, but she does have personality. And I just kind of felt like Mandy was sucking the energy out of the moment, you know, but she's good at other stuff.
They definitely won't have jobs in commentary, which is fine. But I think we can kind of table this because we'll get into more of this when we get to our SmackDown highlights. Definitely we'll get into more of that. So, that was our Raw highlights of the week. We are going to go now here directly into our SmackDown highlights of the week. So, the major thing about SmackDown this week, was Edge. Edge delivered a very good promo, basically saying that, he is now, the rated R superstar is back after like brutally beating up Roman and Daniel Bryan with a chair the other week. He is now the rated R superstar is back. He is now the ultimate opportunist again. This was a great promo. This really just was a great promo. And everything after it was just like, okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're furthering this Roman, Edge, and Daniel feud. And I'm just so glad that Edge finally got his fire back. Like he said, my fire is back. I want it. And I believe him. I really do. And now I'm just kind of like, well, dang, do I want him to get his title back? Like the match is going to be, 10 years to the day that he had to retire. So this storyline is so good. It really is. And, addition of Daniel Bryan aside, if you are for it or you aren't against it, I think this would have been a barn burner no matter what. And then we get Daniel Bryan versus Jey Uso on a street fight at main eventing. Fine. But I think the biggest thing was Edge really came out here and just delivered a great promo. Matt, what do you think?
Well, first of all, Edge and his promo. You mentioned, so this storyline is interesting because we get three really solid wrestlers, and I'm really happy that they're there. And Ryan Popola was talking about how like even a year ago we wouldn't have been able to see this match. 2 years ago we wouldn't have been able to see it. Definitely 10 years ago we wouldn't have been able to see this match. So it's awesome that's happening. For me, the story isn't actually there. Like, I feel like Edge is very upset over nothing because no one kidnapped his family. No one burned his house down. Oh, no God. One burned him. No one shoved him off a scaffold. No one blew him up. Like, it's not that serious. Like, it's a match. Let Daniel Bryan in. Calm down.
So you win a bowling trophy, and then they're like, "Oh, here's your trophy. Oh, the person who didn't even come in second, here, you also get to stand in this picture with the guy who won." Like, what do you mean? He won the Royal Rumble. Edge won the Royal Rumble. He outlasted 29 other men, including Daniel Bryan, who didn't even make the top four. And now he has to share his WrestleMania moment with Daniel Bryan. I get exactly why he's mad.
She's going to pretend like
you're the judge.
I'm breaking the tie here. And I want to take you guys back to before the Royal Rumble when I called it. I said Edge was going to win the Royal Rumble. It was one of my only predictions. We could roll the footage, but I was like, you know, I picked Edge because I knew him. I was like, you know, I'm a casual, but y'all said Edge was coming back. He had been out for a while. And I was like, oh, well, give it to Edge. And he did it. So imagine my disdain when I turn on my clips and I see Edge complaining about having to fight Daniel Bryan. I was like, who invited you? why are you here? No, I am completely on Edge's side here. Daniel Bryan has no business in this match. Are we supposed to be rooting for Daniel Bryan because he's taking out Jey Uso? He's like, yeah, but you know, people like Daniel Bryan. Are we supposed to be rooting for him in this match? Because I am completely in Edge's corner. Edge deserves this match, and I hope Edge wins.
You know what? Edge acts like he's never been in a triple threat match. Hasn't he been in a triple threat match for the World Championship at Mania? Am I remembering correctly? Because I'm pretty sure he has. Daniel Bryan has been in triple threat matches going for the World Championship. So what is wrong? If you are a veteran, what you should say when someone proposes a triple threat match is, oh yeah, I've been in those before. Sure. Where's the paperwork? Let me sign it. Like, that's what you should be going for. But calm down, buddy. Calm down. No, you've been doing this. You've done it. Stop complaining.
No, absolutely not. He can complain. Yeah, you know how you got a job that you hate and you still go there and you complain every day, but you still go to work? That's what Edge is doing. Yeah. Like, look, I'm still going to fight you in your little triple threat match or whatever, but make no mistake, I'm going to complain about it in the meantime because I just don't understand why Daniel Bryan gets this shot. Edge won the Royal. Like, he won it. He was there. Exactly. He won. Like, I'm thinking, my prediction's right. We're going to see Edge in this title match. And now I got to watch Daniel Bryan. And it's not fair. It's not fair to Edge, period. So, no, I agree that he should be complaining a little bit. But you're right. He's a wrestler at the end of the day, and he's got to handle his business. Now, if he loses to Daniel Bryan, I think he could complain some more. Honestly, I think he would deserve a rematch or something like that because he earned it. Like, had this been someone else, had Daniel Bryan won the Royal Rumble, would we be having Edge as the triple threat match? Probably not.
Right.
So, I think Edge has a legitimate concern. And, you know, I hope he pulls it out at the end.
Yeah, it just makes it hard because I think this is just one of the matches where whoever wins, I feel like I'm going to be okay with. I want Roman to continue on this really dominant heel streak championship that he's doing. But that promo really got me fired up for Edge. If he wins it, I'd like it too. Daniel Bryan. I mean, I love Daniel Bryan, and if he wins, that's so be it. But it's just, Edge has convinced me he's an interloper. He's an interloper.
Yeah. You haven't earned what I've earned.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. All right. That's a good point. Edge really is the one who's kind of made us think that Daniel Bryan doesn't deserve it. I would be pissed if Daniel Bryan wins. I want either Edge or Roman to walk out of it. Daniel Bryan... You might have convinced me. I'll be less stubborn about this. That, maybe he doesn't deserve to be there, but he's fun. He just injects so much life and energy. Like, I feel like I got, when I was watching him on SmackDown, just these like Kevin McAllister Home Alone vibes. He's running around, nails Edge in the face with a knee, throws some marbles down, throws some thumbtacks, whatever. Roman knocks him out and they're just laying there.
Daniel Bryan got Roman into the yes lock on the ramp. So I'm really wondering how their WrestleMania match is going to play out. So this is one of those feuds again that it is reality. It is all of these three men's reality put into a storyline. And it is so, it just pulls you in. And this is the type I like. They are not fighting just for the sake of fighting. They have each clearly came out, stated in their promos what they want out of this match, why they're doing this, and all of them make sense. Like we were just talking about last week how Daniel Bryan's promo makes sense. So maybe we're the ones who are like flip-flopping because they're just all so convincing with their words. But I love this. I really do. And this is going to be a really good main event, and I really can't wait to see what happens. Any final words on Edge, Daniel Bryan, and Roman before we move on?
Mm-hmm.
Great. So we got Bianca versus Carmella.
We did.
Which was actually
is that the wine lady? That's the wine lady.
Yes, that is the wine lady.
She's still drinking. Is that still her thing?
Well, she lost her sommelier.
Well, yeah. Well, she fired her sommelier.
So. Whatever. I don't think he's can she be the wine lady without a sommelier? Where's her black henchman? Are you really? Like if you don't have a black henchman, what are you?
Exactly.
Yeah, she's nothing.
Yeah. And so this match was good. It was short. It was sweet. They actually have really good chemistry together. In
it was a good match.
It was. It actually was really, really good, to be quite honest. And then we got Sasha try to kind of get one over on Bianca. Mm-hmm. Bianca, you know, my girl.
You know I didn't like this. You know I didn't like this. I know you. Why? I know you're a Sasha fan. I know you are one of the biggest Sasha fans. But you know about my baby mama. And I don't play about Bianca. And I feel like Sasha, okay, cool. You came out like, look, this is a grudge. You know, like we are rivals at this point. So I can fight you. It's on site whenever. And she tried this. And they're like, you know, Bianca's like, look, hey, I see what you're trying to do. I'm going to save myself for WrestleMania because I'm going to whoop you when it matters. However, like, come a butt. You, Bianca, don't let this girl run up on you. You better slap her up in the, you know, like, you got, I was like, you don't just let her out the ring. She tried to jump you. She playing scared, Mari. She playing scared. Your girl playing scared. That was low.
Like she said, she's trying to hold it in. She doesn't want them to go too far. She wants them to have that WrestleMania moment, especially when she feels like she is going to beat Sasha. Again, it's all logical. It all makes sense. I like it. I like her. They're like, y'all got me there.
You almost got me. But if Bianca ambushes Sasha before WrestleMania, I'm okay with it because you started it. You know,
Bianca got that really good slap in. She like last week. Bianca slapped the taste out of.
That's all she needed,
and that's why I think they're even. They're technically even now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we on level playing field. Yeah, because I was like, Bianca, you letting her go for the sake of WrestleMania and preserving your energy, but also a steel chair. I'm just saying. Don't let nobody jump you, man. Don't be no sucker. I'm Team Bianca all the way.
Matt.
She's unbothered. I love it.
Yes, unbothered queen.
Yeah, she just like she's like you think that that's gonna get me? You think because everyone in WWE is so trigger happy? They're just like,
yes,
you can't get her to fight you if you tried unless she wants to. And she's right. Like, why would I waste my energy on you, Sasha Banks, in your little sequin cat suit when I could wait until WrestleMania when more people be watching? She's all about the ratings.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mari, I have a question for you, though. Is Carmella getting better as a wrestler?
Okay,
we don't need to talk about that. You know,
I know how Mari feels about Carmella. But no. I definitely saw some potential in the match. I thought it was good. Yeah. What did you think, Mark?
Yeah,
and this is actually what I was about to get into. Thank you for queuing that up. I think that they had great chemistry together. So I wouldn't mind if they have a program depending if Bianca does walk out of WrestleMania the champion. But Carmella and herself, I think she is the warning with changing your gimmick and then going straight after the title that I think everybody needs to heed. Like, this is what Rhea needs to kind of heed, even though I think Rhea is going to come out on top as opposed to Carmella did it. This is what Apollo needs to heed because Carmella got completely rebooted. She got new packaging. They made her out to be like amazing with Reginald. She had a 2-month feud with Sasha for that title. She came up short and, Chappelle, this is the first time she's been on TV in a month.
Right? Oh, so this is a brand new Carmella.
Like,
that's why I asked if she was a wine lady, because I was like, where's the wine? Where's the gimmick? You know, but it seems like this is a new monster. I like it.
I think she sobered up a little bit from that. I think the last we saw of her, she was slapping a bottle of wine out of Reginald's hands. It went shattering. And then she's just mad. She's probably been detoxing, though, because she was drinking a lot.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's what I'm saying. So when you immediately change your character and your gimmick, and then you immediately go into a title feud that you don't win, WWE doesn't have a good track record of what happens to you afterwards. So I hope Carmella, I hope something happens, because during the women's segment where next. So when all of the women came into like the tag team brawl, they showed her backstage watching all the tag teams brawl. And then Billy Kay handed her the resume. So I was like, okay, are they teasing that they're going to put her and Billy Kay together? But my hope is I want Bayley hasn't been on TV in weeks, and Bayley doesn't have a WrestleMania match right now. So that really makes me sad, because I love me some Bayley. And if the most natural fit would be a Carmella and Bayley tag team, because they are like best friends, legit in real life. So I hope maybe we'll get an announcement about a multi women's tag team match at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Maybe Carmella will be inserted into that match as well. And hopefully her partner is Bayley, maybe. But I want them to do more with Carmella, because even though I was saying I didn't like their feud, I really didn't like their feud. And but I did like the gimmick. I don't think she really needs Reggie, because I think her gimmick was strong it could last without him. But they need to put that same push that they were giving her earlier. You know, maybe after WrestleMania season. We'll see. I guess that's what I'm saying. I'm saying I kind of want more Carmella, surprisingly. Hey, Matt is looking at me shocked. Yeah, like...
No. I get it, because, like, thinking about it logically, you know, she's done a good job with everything they've ever given her. Like, with the that Amore guy and Big Cass and then, James Ellsworth and then R-Truth and then Sommelier, like they got it all figured out. So you know what? She is underrated.
Yeah, I like Carmella. Like, I think she knows she has a great place. When she knows what she's doing, she's doing really well. So I just want more. I want more Carmella and way more Bayley. That's basically what I'm saying. I want more of them, like a lot more of them. So again, like we mentioned, our next highlight, we got Natty versus Shayna, which was literally a 2-second match. Like,
what? I was so confused.
Natty pinned Shayna in like 2 seconds. Well, you know, Shayna is still kind of, it's still that apology tour for knocking Asuka's tooth out.
I guess so, or something, I just want to say really quickly, I love how Natty and Tamina are just being positioned now in a way that actually matters. Like, I didn't mind it. Natalia Neidhart, you know, she should be, I think, a lot more prominent than she is now. So,
yeah.
Back to you in the studio, Mari.
Thank you. Natty and Shayna had, like, the quickest match I've ever seen in my entire life. And then all the women's tag teams who we've been talking about this, like all the women's tag teams have a gripe against Shayna and Nia, and they all were just like, F it. And they just all came out. So we had Natty and Tamina. Shayna and Nia were already out there with Reggie. We had the Sexy Muscle Friends come out. We had the Riot Squad come out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Naomi and Lana come out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they specifically showed us Carmella looking on the screen at all of that happening. So that if we add a Carmella team, that's 6 women's tag teams that are could be vying for the women's belts at WrestleMania. I hope. I really hope. Like, that seems like a lot of teams. That's like a lot of teams. Six. But I kind of want them to do something. I don't know if I always love a ladder match. Like, I would love the belts above the ring ladder style match. 16 seems like a lot for that. But
I'll take it.
It is.
Yeah, it is. It is. But maybe the worst thing that I think they could do is do like a battle royal, like a tag team battle royal where they just throw them over.
Oh, I don't think they'll do that. I don't.
Maybe
think
they could do a gauntlet, maybe a tag team gauntlet match.
I feel like a battle royal for the women is kind of like, it's like a diva era kind of thing. And actually, that segment that we saw was very diva era used to have like, okay, I'm going to do my finisher on you. And then the next one does the finisher on the next one. And this was better than that. We did see some like dominance. Well, we saw it come back to Natty and Tamina at the end, but we did see, you know, a few different spots from people, which was cool. But yeah, we better not get a battle royal.
Yeah, I want to see what it is. I hope something happens where we get at least a multi-women match on WrestleMania, one of the WrestleMania nights. Totally. Maybe they'll have to, if there's six teams, maybe they'll have to do three matches against each other, and then whoever wins qualifies to go on for the multi-woman tag match. Chappelle, what did you think about all these women just running?
Yeah, no, this was entertaining for sure. I'm with y'all. I don't know what they're going to do with them, but you'll kind of have to use them all at this point because they all just ended up fighting in the end. It went from like us holding back this fight, which I love that. I love to see the locker room is so invested in keeping like the peace that now they've run out and like, oh no, like we're not wrestlers anymore. We're real people. You know, like I like that a little bit. However, comma but, remember Asuka and Rhea? Weren't they just beefing with Nia? Like just the other day, like, are they not going to get involved in this? This is a perfect opportunity for them to get their revenge. You know, if in this tag team thing, this is what I was talking about when I say it's too convoluted. It's because like Nia and Shayna are beefing with Asuka and Rhea, but now they've gone and gotten themselves into what potentially could be, you know, a six team brawl. Yeah. And then you have, you know, them like, Asuka and Rhea are still in existence. They can still come and screw this all up for them. So that's why I was like, if you can just keep these storylines separate for just a little bit longer, so I can focus on, you know, the tag team of it all or the Asuka of it all, you know. And then, like you said, we were getting people from, you know, all over the place. You had like Carmella in the background, like looking for takers. And I'm like, we just gave Asuka a fake partner just like on Monday. So I was like, for me, it's a lot because I'm like, is that just not going to play into this at all? Because it very well should. And I think for a story purpose, it should, right? You just came and like forced me into a match with like somebody who I don't even like and talked all this noise. What do I look like watching you sit around and like demolish these other people? Like, no, I'm going to come in too. I want to be involved in this, especially now that I have a fake tag team partner. So I don't know. You disrespected me and now you go and get in a fight with a bunch of other people. And I'm just supposed to stand by and let it happen? No. I want some of that to come back to, you know, I want the story to kind of to mean something instead of just like kind of leaving that out to dry.
And I think the glue that is holding all of this together, because it is mad confusing, but I think the glue that's holding all of this together is just that Shayna and Nia piss everybody off. I think that's why I'm like, everybody off. So that is like, you're like, oh, they're justified. Like they're all justified for wanting to run in on them and take their tag titles because they're just so annoying that everybody hates them. And that's what I love about it. I love that everybody hates them. I love that now between them, Reggie seems to be coming in between them, and that might be the catalyst for why they lose their belts. So I just really do like this storyline. I think Nia and Shayna are just when Nia said to Rhea, I'll show you what, and then she did the stomp brutality is on Monday. Yeah. I lost my ish because I love when people make fun of other wrestlers, like gimmicks and stuff like that. And I was crying laughing. So I love what Shannon and I are doing. And I love that, Chappelle, we should have sent you this, but, on TikTok, they've been ramping up these storylines, because on TikTok you'll have Naya and Reggie doing TikTok challenges, and in the back Shayna is like looking at them crazy. Or they did the walk challenge. Reggie and Naya were doing the walk challenge, and then Shayna came up in between them
and pushed them out the way.
It's so funny that they're continuing this stuff on TikTok. So I love it. I'm here for it. Naya pushed Naomi out of her own TikTok when Naomi was doing a TikTok dance. So
I don't like that.
I know. I love all of this. This Naya Shayna thing is great. I hope that if they lose the tag team championships, I hope they have to fight each other to see who can go on to get the title. And I hope Reggie and Naya turn into again, we said it last week, but into like a Eddie Guerrero and Chyna style, relationship, on screen relationship. So. It's so fun. Like it really is. It's so fun. I love multi-tag team matches. I hope we get something with the women. But I guess we'll see, down the line.
Yeah. Yes. And the only thing I'll add is that WWE, Vince McMahon, please just stop breaking people up. I just want people to be around long enough that in 20 years from now, we'll look back and be like, oh, remember that tag team? Remember the Hurt Business? Remember Naya and Shayna? Like, just give us something to hold on to get comfortable with, a sense of safety and security. So much is changing in the world, Vince. And we just want our Naya and our Shayna. And they're great. They're great. But I think that we're going to probably see what you're talking about, Mari, with the breakup sooner rather than later.
I mean, at this point, it makes sense. It makes sense. They are complete and utter single stars. And they've actually been a tag team for almost a year now. So at this point, I do think it's time to hang it up. They've been a tag team for over a year now, and they've had those tag team belts for at least, if you put their reigns together, at least 6 or 7 months, something like really long like that. I think it's... about 7 months, I want to say. So it is a natural, logical conclusion. It's not just breaking up the Iconics to break up the Iconics, which is so...
That was rude. That was messed up, actually.
Exactly. Okay,
I'm going to have to get my Australian accent out again just to...
You don't have to do it.
Good here.
So our next... our next highlight is Apollo challenges Big E to a Nigerian drum match. Like,
what the hell does that mean?
Are we offended?
Yes. What the hell does that mean?
Okay, wait. Let me just say, so every week we come on, we're like, I don't know if this is offensive. He implied that his entire, not just the ancestors, his entire family, one, owns drums, two, knows how to play drums. And I just know that's not true. I know that.
Look.
Are we mad yet?
He gonna have his whole family at this match. He better win. You better win. You done brought the ancestors into this, your family, drums, trouble. You about to embarrass your entire country. You talk about Nigeria. You about to embarrass the entire country. You better win this match, boy. I was like,
he's from Sacramento. He's from Sacramento.
Don't drag them into this. You're not gonna have them embarrassed on WrestleMania. Like, you, what does that even mean? Apollo, what are you doing?
So Chappelle, I don't know how much if you've been keeping up with this,
good for you if you haven't.
Apollo embraced his roots. He's gone Nigerian. He has his accent now because he said he stopped trying to assimilate. So now he's going to talk in his true accent.
Stop it.
I think this proves that Vince McMahon does not listen to this podcast, because we've said that in order for this character to work out, it needs to be grounded more in reality. It needs to go back to his roots. We need to see his family. We need to learn more about it. They have gone the complete opposite direction. And they said They said, fuck subtlety. We are going to go cartoonish. That's basically what they said. Me and Matt said, well, we said, maybe just dial the accent down a little bit.
Look, I like that they lean into the ridiculousness of all of this. This man from Sacramento embracing his, like, look, I'm from Texas. I have roots, damn it. And I can embrace them, but I can't speak in an accent that's convincing or anything. But if I wanted to, I definitely
neither can he.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. So I'm okay with them embracing like the ridiculousness of all of this, as long as he ends up losing. I cannot root for somebody who is a cartoon, like a caricature of what he is trying to be. I can't. So it's like, you have to lose this match, or at least you have to have some downfall to snap you out of this. Like, this is a, you know, this is a gimmick. And I need you to either fully embrace it all the way and be the hometown hero that you claim to be, or be a cartoon character and we get to laugh at you as you lose. But you don't get to do both. I remember Kurt Angle when he went like full milkman, you know, he was like, got milk, you know, like, okay, if he really liked milk and stuff, like, we could, okay, you know, we can embrace that. But he was a cartoon character of what he was trying to be. And that's, and I think that's what this is. I just think it's at the expense of like actual Nigerians who care, you know, like, so this is American born, you know, of Nigerian descent, but I hope he's not offending anybody who's actually from Nigeria in this, because he is going to lose this match. Or at least we'll be rooting for him to lose.
Matt?
Yeah. I don't know why we need a Nigerian drum fight. It makes me think of the Punjabi prison match. And Great Khali is going into the Hall of Fame this year. What are these people doing? They honestly, they know that there's not going to be much of a crowd, so they're just trying to slip him in now. Because
don't be rude to the Great Khali. Like, he was not a great person, but he literally, he opened that market for India. Like, you cannot.
Yes. I get. I respect that. I mean, a lot of, you know, there are other people who could have really been big stars there, but he's the Great Khali. Like, his reputation is as being someone who cannot really wrestle, and he's going into the Hall of Fame. But you know what? We have a lot of other people in the Hall of Fame that I would take off the list.
It's a made up. Yeah. It's a
you know what? I'm fine. Sorry. I had no chill. I take
no,
it back.
Okay.
But the Punjabi prison match versus the Nigerian drum fight.
Any of these,
one of them seems more. Are we gonna have drums around the ring?
That's what he said.
You cannot call this a drum fight and not
it's
have no drums there.
The ring.
Circle.
But then I was kind of thinking, like, are they gonna throw drums at each other? Like, can they use?
Like,
drums
we will fight with drums.
That's gonna be a really annoying match.
I just like, this is wrestling. If there's a drum outside of the ring, I feel like you have to use it, right? Like, at some point. Like, you got to get put through the drum, hit upside the head with the drum.
They're going to have a whole bunch of people in, like, African garb with drums around the ring. And I didn't think about what you were saying, Chappelle. Like, I agree. Like, if you're going to, it's okay to go cartoony for a gimmick, but is it okay to go cartoony with somebody's culture? Like,
exactly.
Like, I'm not Nigerian.
You could be.
I was gonna say my dad did get his ancestry thing back, and he's like 60-70% Nigerian. So technically,
okay, so
I'm probably
the black struggle.
Exactly. But you know, Apollo said, like, his I think his parents are or is he first or second generation, something like that. I think we don't know, because the WWE has not gone the way that they should have gone and explained to us how he is Nigerian. I know his grandfather, he keeps saying his grandfather is Nigerian, but I can't tell if he's like first generation, second generation, like literal African American, you know? And I really wish they took the cartoony bit off and actually delved into his family lineage, talk about how proud he is. And again, I would love the accent way better if it was just subtler, but nah, they said F it, and they just went the other way. So I can't tell anybody to be offended or how to address this. I would love to hear from any, if we have any Nigerian listeners, to let us know what they think about it. I know, again, he was getting great engagement, and at least weeks ago, it was like very like 50-50. People loved it. You know, people thought it was really cool. Now I'm not sure. I haven't gotten a chance to see what it is now, but it just seems like it is going over the top. And I don't know if I feel comfortable with it. And like Chappelle says, you're going up against Big E, who is like one of the biggest hearts of the company, like an amazing person in and outside of the ring. And I'm going to be rooting for him. And yeah. if and when, hopefully, if Big E wins, then where does Apollo go from here? Mm-hmm. Because I'm not going to want to watch that personally. I'm personally not going to want to watch him struggle through an accent every week. And
he got did you? Yeah.
Ooh, sorry. You know what this reminds me of? What? Crime Time.
Oh, yeah. Crime Time.
Yes. It's because like you finally get like, okay, we got some black people in the WWE that's not The Rock, right? And we bring them out and we're like, oh yeah, like they got their gold chains and their jerseys and they stealing from everybody. They're like, wait, hold on. Wait, they stealing from everybody? You're like, dang, like I almost had something I could latch onto and then you had to mess it up. You know, like I was very happy to see Crime Time until I found out they were thieves and, you know, like stuff like that. Like, you know, I feel like there's a thin line, right? Like you could say, hey, let's embrace some, you know, some authenticity in our people. But also, let's not make this a caricature of an actual culture or a person.
But then I have to ask you because like I was very young when Crime Time happened and they did switch. They did go to this switch where it went from like them committing crimes to them kind of just committing pranks. And it was funny again. It was kind of like, oh, this is kind of funny. And they were good guys and people were like cheering for them. And they were kind of just the pranksters. So I guess that line is very thin. Where can you
lie? You calling them Crime Time is enough for me to be like, ew. You know, right?
Exactly. That's their name. And I don't know the difference between a felony and a misdemeanor. Again, we have other lawyers in the RHAP universe. I do not know the law like that and hope I don't ever find out. But I will say, you know, look, they tried it and they got away with it for a long time. Their name was Crime Time.
They did get away with it.
Yeah, exactly. So, very, very thin, very thin line.
Also, more black on black crime. Just saying.
Right, exactly. Way too much. So we'll see. I watching this live, I was like, what did he say? A Nigerian drum match.
He didn't even tell us what the match was going to be. Like, what's the, except for the drums, like, do you just pin them? Is this a normal match with drums?
And I think Matt talked about it maybe 2 weeks ago, but the tone just does not, we don't know what the tone for this feud is supposed to be. They go back and forth between it being goofy, like calling it a Nigerian drum match, to Big E trying to deliver an intense promos. And then they were like wrestling, like they were backstage brawling because they apparently hate each other. So where are we going with this? Is this supposed to be a serious feud and a serious match where Apollo and Big E hate each other because Big E kept telling Apollo to sit in catering? Or is this now a cartoony match where Apollo is, we have drum circles and people wearing feathers? Like, I think the tone is the problem in this.
Let me just give you this. One thing I know for sure is that there are people backstage at WWE who are laughing at this.
Yeah.
Just keep it
there's
simple.
There's a person in the back.
At least a few.
I'm sure Hulk Hogan thought it was funny. Moving on. What's next on our subject? What we got? What's on the agenda?
So our next highlight is we get another premiere. Sammy premieres his documentary trailer. Sammy has been trying to document how the WWE has wronged him. He's had his own documentary crew following him for months now. And he finally has put the trailer together. He has a special guest, Logan Paul, there because reasons. Sammy debuts this documentary trailer, and this documentary trailer is pretty good. Whoever edited, did they say edited by Sami Zayn? Because I saw that it was like directed by Sami Zayn. Executive producer is Sami Zayn. It was really cool. I actually really liked the the suspense, the like, oh, can you see this? It's very conspiracy documentary based, fact based. What did you guys think of the trailer itself? First and foremost,
cool. I don't look. There was just a lot happening in there. There were zebras mentioned.
Yes, right.
And I get it, like the referees, the zebra, but
yeah.
Why did Logan Paul show up again?
I don't know, but because he has 3 million YouTube followers.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. People at home, and we need them to start watching wrestling. And so we bring in, you know, our ringer with a lot of YouTube followers. I'm sure he's a TikToker guy as well, you know, so he probably gets, incorporates all of
it. I don't get why he showed up. And I'll also say in the gimmick of it all, he didn't look like he understood why he was there either.
Right, yeah.
But he'll be back at WrestleMania, so that's nice, right?
I guess.
Because
I don't like Logan Paul personally. I don't follow any of his YouTube stuff. I don't know if maybe he does conspiracy YouTube, because, you know, there's conspiracy YouTube. So I don't know if he's like, if that's like some of his brand, and maybe that's why. But KO basically comes, he stuns Sami Zayn, and he tells Sami like he is going to beat him. Some sense into him, basically. Like, we talked about last week how we got this match at WrestleMania basically out the blue, but that we'll take it because Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens can literally fight at a metro station and I'd watch it. And KO had some backstage exclusives where they said, he basically said, that is not the Sami Zayn that I know. He has completely lost it. So I will beat him silly until he regains some common sense. So I'm okay with that. And Sami, of course, later on attacked him backstage. So again, storyline that's being built in 2.5 weeks before WrestleMania. It's like, okay, I guess, but I will watch KO and Sami and want to watch KO and Sami because I know all of their real life history and backstory. And they just don't miss. They don't miss. So I'm excited for this with Logan Paul, I guess. I don't know.
Hopefully not. But that's so bizarre to me. His presence. But you know what? Let's open the floodgates. Like, let the pigeons loose. Let's bring in Bow Wow. Let's bring in who else wants to come in? Maybe we could have like an open invitational celebrity battle royal at WrestleMania and just see who shows up. Just let them throw each other out for a contract.
That'd be kind of interesting.
I will say, I didn't love this.
Yeah.
I didn't love it. Here's my problem, okay?
As a casual, I can see.
Yeah, as a casual, last time I saw KO, he was in this fight for his life and his family. Yeah. Like, this was gripping storyline that I knew. I thought he was going to die. I was like, Roman is going to destroy this man. He's embarrassing him. It was Christmas. He was like stealing Christmas gifts from under the tree, like the Grinch, blah, blah, blah. Like, Kevin Owens was in distress. This is how far you've fallen? You was going at like one of the big dogs, and now you're trying to snap somebody into their, like, out of their senses, like back into their senses. Like, Kevin Owens, what happened?
Yeah,
I wanted so much more for you. There was so much there. You were fighting Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. Look, Sammy's cool. But this storyline of you like, oh, I got to be the one to knock him out of this. How did you fall down to this tier of fight? You know, like as far as storyline, not wrestling, because like you said, the wrestling is going to be good regardless.
Yeah.
But for this to be where you come from when you were just in December fighting for your honor, for your whole entire family. Yeah, like, why? How did we end up here? KO, what happened? Oh, I didn't love it because I was like, I wanted so much more for you. You should still be involved in this Roman thing. Roman is about to have like one of the biggest matches of his life. And I expect you to be a part of it because he disrespected you in front of your family during the holidays. But you're too busy worried about Sami Zayn and his dang conspiracy theories, which could be, you know, kind of be grounded in a little something. he points were made, but that's why I didn't love it. Yeah, I didn't love it. So that's just me.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. That's a way to look at it because Kevin Owens has really been, since the Roman feud, he hasn't been in much. He's hosted some KO shows that have moved other storylines along, but this is this storyline is the first storyline that he is a part of in a while. Broken. And it just popped up 2 weeks ago. And for all of our casuals who don't know, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are literal best friends. They started wrestling together about 15 or 17 years ago. Like,
yeah,
almost maybe 20 plus years ago. They fought all over the world together. And Sami Zayn was contracted to NXT, I think maybe a year or two before Kevin. And then Kevin came over, and they've had an epic feud or rivalry, but friendship for years now. So that's why every time they touch in the ring, it's just amazing. So yeah, if you don't know that, I could definitely see it being like, what's happening here? You know, why? And that's why it's like, why is Kevin the one who has to do this? Because he wants his friend back. Like, Sami Zayn is like his son's godfather or something, and was his best man at his wedding. Like, they are like legit friends. So that's why you can put them in a feud for 2 weeks before WrestleMania and it'll be okay. But it's true. KO, I'm just glad they found something for him at this point, I guess. I guess that's just where I'm at.
Yeah, and I'll just say, I don't mind this at all, but Logan Paul is sort of just there. Like, right.
We don't need it.
I'm kind of surprised because he's a YouTuber, but like, he doesn't have a big personality at all. So,
just bangs.
Hey, I get it.
Just bangs. Yeah, that's it.
Just bangs. Yeah. Just bangs. Okay. All right, so that's the end of our SmackDown highlights. Again, all of our highlights will be in our show notes. If you want to follow along, there's a nice little convenient playlist that Matt put together. You can watch the highlights alongside of us.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So let's just go into our NXT stand and deliver card. Just go through the matches real quick. Again, NXT for me is in this type of limbo where I do feel like a good portion of these matches are just kind of like wrestling for wrestling's sake. And again, that's not my forte. So I'm excited for some, and some of them I'm not excited, but let's go over the card. So for NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver, for night one, to kick off the WrestleMania week, on Wednesday, we have the women's championship match. This is Io Shirai, who's the champion, versus Raquel Gonzalez. And we've been talking about this for weeks. We knew that they were going to push Raquel Gonzalez, into this match against Io, and that they were going to be the match at TakeOver Stand and Deliver. So, again, Io, 2 or 3 weeks ago, Io said that she wanted Raquel because reasons. Ever since then, they've just been going back and forth of ambushing each other. Raquel has been built as a monster over the last couple months at like War Games. They won the Dusty Cup, the Women's Dusty Cup. I had to make sure. I was like, I had to think about that for a second. They won the Women's Dusty Cup. They were the inaugural Women's Tag Team Champions for an hour. And then she lost the Tag Team Championship with, Dakota Kai. So weird. But either way, they're putting the engine behind Raquel. And I don't see a scenario where she doesn't take this belt off of Io, since Io's been a champion for a very long time and has not had any significant feuds since then.
Yeah. EO's going to have to be a hell of a wrestler to be able to beat Raquel, because Raquel, like you said, they're making her into a monster. And yeah. I don't know if EO's just sick of her crap, but she doesn't seem to care. You know, right. Like, she's like, I will fight everybody to get to you. Send in security, send in the cops. She's diving into it. Like, she is not, I don't care. I want all of y'all. I'm like, to get to Raquel, because she's going to kill you. And she put her through a wall.
It was a wall.
It was a wall that she made a window with her body. I like EO from what I saw, but I just don't see this ending well for her at TakeOver.
Yeah, which is so unfortunate, because Io Shirai is quite literally was like the greatest women's wrestler in the world, coming into WWE. Sasha Banks, her and Sasha Banks being right there at the top for me. They're both there. I mean, coming into WWE, it was no question Io was the top women's wrestler. How she's been used since being in NXT is just so unfortunate. So, I mean, Matt, what do you think about this match?
It's a match.
Yes, exactly. It's a match that is happening.
This is how I feel about most of the NXT card now, everyone's angry about being angry and about wrestling, and there's not a lot of storyline mixed in with a lot of it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a good match.
It's wrestling for wrestling's sake.
Yeah.
I mean, you punch enough people, they just don't want to punch you back, I guess. Took on the whole locker room, and I feel like that doesn't bode well for someone who intends on keeping their championship. You know, you could get jumped at any time. I get it. This is a feud, but you know, I'm still a person, and you punch me, so I have to now ruin everything that you have in front of you. So I don't see this ending well for her at all. And I kind of like Raquel from what I saw. So this will be a match, like you guys said, but I think it'll be entertaining. If nothing else, these are two good wrestlers, so we'll see.
Next up, we have the NXT United Kingdom Championship match. So the champion is Walter. Walter is huge. He's going up against Tommaso Ciampa. Walter has had the belt. Jesus, don't even get me the line, but it's been like 3 years at this point. I feel like Matt, it's been like 600 days or something. I should have looked this up beforehand, but Walter has been a champion for so long, mostly because a lot of the NXT UK wrestlers got sidelined due to COVID. Once everything shut down in the UK, they just literally had to shut down. And so a lot of the title holders just held the titles, and for a whole year. But Walter is really good. He's huge. He's very intimidating. He's the head of Imperium, and him and Tommaso Ciampa are fighting. I was really trying to figure out why. Again, we've been kind of behind on NXT. We've been watching. What? No, what is that?
I feel like we've been. I just we've been don't watching. Think
we
a
just
lot
haven't
story.
Been recording. Okay, that's
there's
what
not a lot of story. Because I don't really get it either.
And I remember I saw that Walter tried to recruit Tommaso and Billy Thatcher to Imperium. I think it was something like that, but they refused. And then so now it's segued into Tommaso versus Walter. And Ciampa, of course, is like a bona fide star. We've talked about it before. His matches are great. He's the clip we have is basically him doing a promo. So Ciampa is like the best. Walter is a hard hitter. He's had great United Kingdom Championship matches against a whole bunch of people. So again, it'll be a great match, but it's just going to be a match. Chappelle, what did you think? I mean, this was just a clip of Ciampa.
Nah. I like this. He gives like big stepdad energy. He's old as hell. I like him. He's like, I know I'm old. I'm like, you are very old. And I hope he's good, because his promo was really, really good. Oh, I was like, shit, Walter, like, what are you gonna do? Then I was like, oh crap, Walter, you should be afraid. And then I saw Walter and I was like, well, maybe not. Because I was like, whoa. I was like, The mouse open to handle that ass, Walter. Like, it's your ass. And I like Google Walter. Like, Walter, let me go see who this chump is. Because, stepdaddy finna come in and, you too old to be fighting Walter, man. You might want to. Oh, my gosh. It's old. Like, he just gives, like, more sage energy. Like, you're like, oh, yeah. Like, I get my kids every 2 weeks on the weekends. Like, I was just like, I really like him. Like, he's going to take you to Wally World. But, Walter. Yeah, you don't want to go to Wally World with Walter. Walter is going to handle you. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about this guy. I'm rooting for him. Like you said, he's a star. But that Walter, geez Louise, that guy is huge. So I liked it. It got me entertained and it got me pumped for the match. Like you said, there's not a lot of story there, but I didn't need it because it was a good promo. And I was like, I don't know who Walter is, but I want to see it. And so now I am invested in this match specifically.
Nice. Yeah. Matt?
This is a good match. It's going to be a great match in NXT. Ciampa is really good. Ciampa is a solid performer. It's hard to, like, I feel it's hard to get invested when the story is not like the main roster is clearly a lot different than NXT.
And I really
watched the match.
I really hope we're not underselling it because, like Chappelle correctly identified, these are two really good workers. And
But that's like to me, that's NXT, right? And so like we need to go deeper than having two guys who are really big and meaty and big meaty men big slapping meaty meats men. Or whatever it is. Like we just
slapping meats. I didn't get those clips. So, okay.
That's a famous quote from Biggie and the New Day.
I'm clutching my pearls here. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Biggie men slapping meat. Yeah.
Slapping meat. Okay. You
know, there's
Arby's. They got the meats.
Arby's.
They got the meats. I thought we were.
Oh my God.
We're not going. Okay. Whatever. Continue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah, they said Walter's reign is at like 720 something days or something like
that. I'm worried about stepdad. Yeah. Chopper's good, but I mean Walter is scary. That's a scary guy.
He's very scary. So I don't know. I don't know which way this is gonna go, to be quite honest. I mean, like reasonably, if somebody's gonna take the belt off of Walter, Chopper can.
He's not from UK.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, is he eligible for the United Kingdom Championship?
I mean, I'm assuming that since all of the UK champions are now here, and I think they had to come over in order for them to record. They're not recording. It's not like they're recording in their where they were recording in the UK. They're all here now. So I don't think it really matters at this point.
All of them?
From at least, Kaylee Ray, I think, is still over there.
Miko is still over there.
Yeah. I think the men are just kind of over here now that you mention it because the UK tag team champions are over here. I don't know. Maybe I could be wrong, but it seems like most of them are over here now. So I don't know. Ciampa is not from the UK. That is very true. So I guess we'll see. Either way, good match. Great match. And Chappelle, Tommaso Ciampa is the same age as Roman Reigns.
Yeah, he just looks big stepdad energy. You know, he looks like, you know, he really misses his ex-wife.
So next we have the NXT Tag Team Championship match. The championship is vacant because Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, I think Danny Burch got injured. He got injured, so they had to vacate the championships. I'm assuming this is like legit injury because this close to WrestleMania, I don't think you kayfabe vacate your championships. So we got MSK versus the Grizzled Young Veterans versus Legado del Fantasma. And this match I actually really do like, and I actually do want to see because MSK, Grizzled Young Veterans, Legado del Fantasma, and in some form or fashion, Breezango have been kind of feuding for the past few weeks anyways. And I think this is going to be a great match. I mean, MSK brings like that fun, high flying, weird tag team energy. The Grizzled Young Veterans are just your mat tacticians, and then Legado del Fantasma is very going to be that kind of like that lucha, between that lucha and that hard hitting type of style. So I think this tag team championship match is going to be very, very interesting. Chappelle, what do you think about this match?
I was excited to see this match, but I was confused as to what was going on, because it just seemed like tag teams kept coming out of everywhere. I liked what I saw. Legado del Fantasma, they're impressive. Oh my gosh. The young veterans were cool. I think what confused me was that we have these astronauts come out at some point, right? And then at the end, we have the astronauts in the ring with, was it MXK? Who they end up in the ring with at the end?
So we did. There was no clips on WWE.com for this week. Like, I don't know what happened or what, like, why there was no really good tag team championship matches this week. Clips this week. So this is from like 3 weeks ago, March 10th. What was going on was the Grizzled Young Veterans were facing Legado del Fantasma, and during their match, MSK came out dressed as the astronauts to kind of distract them. And Breezango came out to then attack Legado del Fantasma. Breezango is normally the ones in the astronaut suits. So that's why people were like confused. They're like, wait, who is that?
Confused me.
Like, oh my God, it's MSK. And MSK distracted them long enough for Breezango to come out. So that's what it was. And then MSK and Breezango celebrated a little bit in the ring or whatnot.
Yeah, I like that part, but like you have these two tag teams that are celebrating the defeat of this other tag team, right? They were happy that they got rid of Legado, and but I'm like, are this going to be like a double tag match or something like that? Are we going to have these two teams versus these two teams, or are they all still feuding? Because there's only one championship, there's only one title, and it's vacant. So you would think everybody is invested in getting it, but I see these two teams in the ring being friendly, and so I was like, well, if y'all are cool, does that make the other two teams not cool, or like, are y'all going to try to like pit them against each other? Because only one team can have the belt, and I just want to know how that's going to end up. I was very intrigued by this. This was fun.
Mm-hmm. Friendship is underrated in wrestling, and I just want, I'm happy for it. Let's get some people, and we get the astronaut suits. Come on. Mm-hmm. This feels kind of educational and like a happy ending kind of story.
What? Yeah. I mean, I have no idea how Breezango got taken out of this equation, because this is only a triple threat. Again, eyes have been like on and off NXT. So, I mean, we're getting MSK versus the veterans versus Legado. I think that's fine. I'm okay. It doesn't need to be all four of them. Birch and Lorcan, I feel bad that they're going to miss out because of an injury, because they were just fighting Finn and Karrion Kross for no reason, like 2 weeks earlier. Again, throwing two people who are opponents into a tag match against the tag team champions for no reason. And I hope nothing, I hope they didn't get injured there, but it's just, it's just unfortunate. And
that's a good point. Cause it's weird to me that Finn Balor, right?
Yeah.
Is in a tag team match with Karrion Kross. Cause it's like, well, y'all are going at each other's throats. So why would y'all be teammates? It just didn't make sense to me. And I liked them. I was like, wow, this would be cool for them to fight. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, y'all are a tag team match. Why? What is that going to accomplish? Like, what's stopping people from turning around and punching this guy in the face? Like, I don't know. I want these to be separate. I don't know why.
Exactly. WWE just loves their whole, we're going to put opponents together as tag teams. And any stuff will happen.
Yeah.
Especially the last, 3 months, they've been doing it nonstop.
Nonstop.
It's weird.
The Oscar thing, and now this too. It's like, okay, I guess, you know, if that's what y'all want from us. But no, I thought, was it Breezango? I thought that they should be involved in this as well. I don't know how they're not, and I also don't know how you can like actively see that they wouldn't jump in. Like, this is a triple threat tag match for the championship, and they obviously have a rooting interest. So you have to hope that they don't, you know, decide to pull some shenanigans of their own when it's time for the big match.
Yeah, I think Breezango is doing something else. I have to look it up. But I really hope MSK wins, to be quite honest. I've been talking about for weeks how I'm an MSK fan. Matt's not like filling it. Them.
No, I am. I'm on board. I'm on board with them because I think the problem is they don't really translate that well in NXT. Like, they, to me, would be great on the main roster, like in the way that New Day is great because they have the personality. But even in the clips, like, it's hard to find a lot of personality because I don't know who's posting the NXT clips for WWE, but like, yeah, just give us the fun. That'd be nice. Give us the, maybe they think of it as filler, but like, that's what MSK really thrives on. So I'm a fan. I want them to take home the win too.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we'll see. It's going to be a great match. So our next highlight, we're basically setting up for the gauntlet match. So there on night one, there's going to be a gauntlet match for the number one contendership for the North American title. So the gauntlet match, whoever wins the gauntlet match is going to go on to night two to face Johnny Gargano for the North American title. In order to set that up, they had a 12-man battle royal to qualify for the gauntlet elimination match. So it's official. We got Leon Ruff. We're going to get Leon Ruff versus Isaiah Swerve Scott versus Bronson Reed versus Cameron Grimes versus Dexter Lumis versus LA Knight. And they're going to do a gauntlet match and whoever wins goes on for the title. Our clip is the Battle Royal itself. Chappelle, did you like this Battle Royal qualifier?
Did I see another Black henchman? Who was this on the outside watching the match?
Oh.
And I was like, they have a Black henchman in NXT as well? This, you guys, this trope, we have to release ourselves from these shackles. I did enjoy the match at one point, and I'm not familiar with these NXT wrestlers, so you will have to tell me who this was. But he goes over the ropes. He stands there for a little bit, and he gets knocked onto his back, but his feet don't touch the ground.
Austin Theory.
So his feet don't touch. He's laying on his back like a turtle, and at some point he tries to like kip up onto his feet so that he doesn't get counted out. But the whole point is that your feet aren't supposed to touch the ground. Sir, did you forget what kind of match this was? Like, I don't know what you intended to do to get back in the ring, but the moment you did that, the ref is like, hey, get out of here, you lost. I thought that was very entertaining. It was a lot going on. 12 yeah. people in the ring at time. Whoa, it was crazy. But I did enjoy that. It was kind of fun, but I just didn't know, like, what was it? LA Knight qualifies. So this is he gets the best spot, right? Yeah. Like in the eliminator. I want to know what the eliminator is like. Like, what does that mean? Because I'm not familiar with this.
So what it is a gauntlet match is somebody starts in the ring, right? It's one person starts in the ring and then another person comes out. It's two people have that match and then somebody gets a pin.
Whoever wins stays in,
and then another person comes out. So you just keep coming out once somebody else gets pinned.
Gotcha. I remember those matches. I remember. Okay.
Yeah, the gauntlet match. You have to run the gauntlet. So LA Knight will come out last, which means he gets the best spot. And whoever is, did they say who was first? I can't remember.
Who was first? So yeah, but I was curious to see who was going to be first. I was like, you know, this was a good match. And I think the guy who kipped up on his feet to avoid getting eliminated should go first because that was stupid.
Malcolm Bivens was the one who was at ringside. Malcolm Bivens is the manager for Tyler Rust. He talks, so I wouldn't qualify him as a Black henchman.
Mari, you're getting too much in the weeds.
What? What do you mean?
He is a Black henchman.
He's a Black henchman.
He's in the group chat.
On our Black henchman shirts, on the back, we have to have like, you know, those class of, like a class of whatever, like you have your whole senior class on the back of it. Just have a list of all the Black men in wrestling.
Like over time. Oh my God.
This is a crazy list of people. I was like, right. Oh man. It's like, we have so many. Reggie, like, what is happening here? Oh, why is this a trope?
Why do I want this shirt so much?
The Who Brothers?
Basham Brothers? Remember Shaniqua? Am I thinking of the wrong?
Basham Brothers are white. Shaniqua was, yes, you're right. Black henchwoman.
Wait, were they white? Wait, I don't.
Yes. They were 100%.
She was a Black henchwoman? They had a henchwoman?
Yeah.
Not a henchwoman.
And Shaniqua was black, and she like had their leashes and stuff like that. It was like very dominant. Yeah.
Okay, I'm not mad at that. She can get off. Give me the video. When we have our shirts made, it's definitely got to have a list of all the black henchmen. You know,
I need them. These shirts might actually need to get made. This match, right? RHAP. So Johnny Gargano is a heel, technically. I guess Leon Ruff and LA Knight and then Dexter Lumis are your faces in this match. I could actually see Dexter Lumis winning this because Dexter Lumis has been having a feud with The Way, which is Johnny Gargano's stable. So I could definitely see that he could win. Dexter Lumis, Chappelle, was the guy in the gray pants who just looked really creepy.
Like, a little bit on the nose with the Dexter gimmick.
Yeah.
He's definitely killed a few people. There's some Johnny.
That's who I think. I'm going to just say I think Dexter Lumis is going to win. Because all these other people, when you look at it, Leon Ruff and Swerve Scott have had their feuding. Bronson Reed and LA Knight are currently feuding. So that just leaves Cameron Grimes and Dexter Lumis, who aren't like an active feuge right now. So
I had read somewhere that Cameron Grimes tried to bribe LA Knight and Dexter Lumis or something like that.
He did.
That's incredible.
Yeah, because Cameron Grimes is the one who got rich quick by going in on GameStop and Dodge Coin.
Yes. His cryptos.
All right. Scammer.
Definitely. How rich did he get?
He's rich enough to start bribing wrestlers, yeah.
Yeah, we'll exactly. So this is going to be... this is going to be good. Matt, who do you hope wins?
Let me just pick someone random. I'm going to go with Isaiah Swerve Scott because he's family. That's about it. I think Dexter Lumis is a good bet, but also they're really pushing LA Knight. And then Cameron Grimes has some interesting stuff. If I'm giving like an actual prediction here, maybe somehow Cameron Grimes pulls it out and then, you know, falls to Johnny Gargano, but it'll be a good match. Got us there.
Chappelle.
Give me a Swerve. Give me Isaiah Scott, you know, whatever. Yeah. We'll do it. Yeah, it's fine.
I like Swerve. I do like him. I think, but I feel like something's telling me that him and Leo Ruff stuff is going to interfere in this. Mm-hmm. Like I could see, one of them being in the ring, the other one comes out for the gauntlet to face each other, and they just get so heated with their rivalry that they both get counted out. I could see that something like that happening because they've been feuding for a while, and it's like a blood feud. So I could see them costing each other in a sense. And then finally for night one, this is really quick, like Kushida versus Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne said he is the most technically sound wrestler in the world. And Kushida said, I bet. And they're fighting to fight. So that's it.
That's it.
We don't even have a clip. We don't have a clip of it. It's just like, that's it. They said they're going to fight each other because they're both good fighters. So again, it's going to be a great match. I can't see how it doesn't. Because Kushida is one of the foremost wrestlers in Japan, and Pete Dunne is a great technical wrestler. Like, my God. So, it's fighting.
Fight into fight.
All right. So, that wraps up night one.
Who's going to win?
Who cares? Like, I don't. It's not for a championship. It's literally just to say I can fight better. I really don't care. I admit, maybe Kushida because
let's go with Kushida. Sure.
Yeah, but honestly, it's just a fight. So I'll watch it, but I'm not invested.
My money is on the Bruiserweight. Give me Pete Dunne. The Bruiserweight. Give it to me. Yeah,
Pete Dunne is amazing. I'm a big fan.
We'll take it.
Yeah. So that wraps up night one of NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver. We unfortunately have to say goodbye to Chappelle. Chappelle, can you tell the people where they can find you?
Yes. Oh, Mari, Matt, it's been a pleasure, you know, hanging out with y'all. I love every time I get that message. It's like, hey, come talk to us about wrestling. Like, cool. Let's do it. Yeah. If I tweeted sometime about wrestling now. I know y'all see it. I be retweeting stuff. Uh-huh. I'm in. I'm like, I got one foot in the dough now. I'm feeling this. So, yeah, if you want to see my, my very, you know, minimal wrestling tweets, you can follow me at Chappelle's_show on Twitter. That's @CHAPPELS_show. I'm on Clubhouse as well, talking about stuff. I might pop into Stereo just to hang out with y'all.
Yes, please.
Yeah. It'll be fun. What are you talking about? And I can't wait for WrestleMania. I'm so excited. This is the most excited I've been for WrestleMania in a long time. You guys have dragged me back into the fandom, and I have been keeping an eye on it. I'm very excited. My friend Ed has been to 4 WrestleManias, and so I'm super jealous of him. Yeah. He posted a picture the other day on Twitter, and I retweeted it, and I was like, you suck. I hate you. I've never been invited to any of these things. So this is going to be my chance to watch WrestleMania and throw it in Ed's face. I'm sure he'll be watching it as well. But so thank y'all for having me. It's been great. C-Dog has had a great time. Man, we have to do this again sometime. This is fun.
Of course. Open door policy for you. Anytime. And we will definitely have you on in the future.
I don't know what we did to have the honor of podcasting with you here on the Wrestling Rap, to have the honor of having you here so many times. And, you know, low key, you kind of been part of the podcast more than anyone else as a guest. Yeah. So thank you for being here. And miss, you need to come back. We need you here.
Yeah.
We need the third.
The Black Henchman. It's me. I'm the Black Henchman. It's me.
I think you're better than that.
No, it was me all along, baby. I've been hitching here. I've been hitching there. You know, I hitch down, hitch up. Yeah, hitch. Yeah, anytime you want me to hitch, I'm coming. So, thank y'all. It's been great.
Oh, Chappelle, we're all here. Right, we've got it. C-Dog out. I don't know if you've signed off. C-Dog out. Oh. Damn, we did it. We had Chappelle.
Yeah. And it's always great to have Chappelle. Of course, everybody knows if you're sleeping on Chappelle, I don't know what you're doing.
I don't know who's sleeping on Chappelle. Look, he's thank you, Chappelle, again for being here. But we have so much more to go through for this NXT card. I almost can't believe it. I feel like this is the first year, and maybe I'm wrong, but NXT was not this packed before this year. Yeah. I don't remember there being 16 matches or whatever it is, but that's what it feels like.
Yeah. This is the first time they've had to break it up like this. And they're really trying to, it's so kind of weird how they're going, they're trying to say that NXT is the third brand, and they're saying NXT is the third brand, but it just still, there's something in it that just still does not feel like the third brand. I don't know why. To me, if they were the third brand, they would be on the pay-per-views with the other two brands instead of having their own pay-per-views.
I don't know. I don't know if I should call it developmental, but to me, it's still developmental. It feels like people are developing. Mm-hmm. I'll take it. You know, it's developmental. That's why all the people who are getting ready to be called up to the main roster, getting their seasoning done, that's why they're there. So, but they have some great matches for being developmental, especially in night two.
I agree with that, but it's also, it's not as developmental like it used to be. NXT used to legit be developmental. And totally. It's just not. And at this point, it feels like developmental, but I don't think it is, because they still are signing really good indie talent and sending them to NXT first. I just don't understand. Some of these people should just be going straight to Raw and SmackDown.
They need to be season two. That's the thing. And I think if you look over at AEW, that's a good example of a product where you have a lot of really talented people, but I think everyone could benefit from just getting used to the WWE style. It's so different from everything else. So NXT is that on-ramp for people, but yet to your point, we do have Finn Balor. We still have Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. We have Adam Cole. We have all of these people who
could definitely be on the main roster, but I'm also glad that they're not already on the main roster and that they could help build other stars in NXT, which is totally what they're doing.
And that's another thing. It still feels separate from the main roster because at any point they can go from NXT onto the main roster like Rhea did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that feels like a call up. That doesn't feel like a side step. Like exactly. If that's the case, then they should only be able to move during like the draft. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, and NXT isn't even a part of the draft. So like, it's just so many things that they really need to figure this out. Either way, we're going to go into night two, which will be on Thursday, April 8th. And we're going to start with the NXT Championship match. We got Finn Balor versus Karrion Kross. And this has been going on for weeks now. Karrion Kross came back from injury. You know, he had to relinquish the belt basically the same night as he won it because he had a very bad shoulder injury. Finn Balor won that belt after it was relinquished, and he's had it ever since. I think I saw it was like maybe around 6 months or so he's had the belt. And so Karrion Kross came in. He had a feud with Santos Escobar before. Yeah, I know. It's so hard. It's two last names. I just don't know which one comes first.
I have two first names. It's not that actually I get it. I do get called Scott sometimes. Whatever. It's cool.
So,
like,
yeah.
You know what? You're right. Yeah.
There's no clear. So Finn Balor and Karrion Kross. I am excited for this match. I think Karrion takes it here. I do. But honestly, I'm only excited because I like Scarlett. To be quite honest, Karrion Kross would be every other wrestler if he didn't have his smoke show wife like on his side doing all that really great, weird promo work for him. Personally, that's my thoughts.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, I was going to reference a reality star. I didn't want to reference star in quotes. Seems big on manifesting. She seems big on kind of like the psychic element. And you know what? This whole feud is interesting to me because it's gotten really graphic. Like in the lead up to this, we had Karrion Kross threatening to, I think, squeeze the oxygen out of Finn Balor's head, talking about strangling him. Finn Balor saying he's going to drown Karrion Kross. So I'm really hoping that they both make it out of this alive, but I didn't realize I was like watching a true crime documentary.
I know.
But we might see some serial killing here. I'm not into that. So, but hey, this is like the intensity that I think I want out of performers. And you know, it started, I think, as them just wanting to fight for the fighting sake, but just like, wow, they really don't like each other. It didn't even get personal, but they just really don't like each other.
No, thank you for pointing it out, because that was my thought process as well. This is like, it's the dash of reality mixed with the fantastical, because realistically, it makes sense logically, because Karrion Kross, the title was taken away from him because he got injured. And Finn Balor has that title. Karrion Kross thinks he has a right to it. That makes all logical sense. Then you have the weird, spooky, semi-mystical stuff like Scarlett. I love how Scarlett like whispers into his opponent's ears. And it's almost like she like convinced, like in the Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch clip, we see Scarlett. Scarlett is the one who secures that tag team match for them. And she like whispers into Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch's ear, saying like, oh, you want to give them the match. You want to, like, it's very like Lady Temptation. I just love it. It's very interesting. She comes out and does this whole production for his entrance, and it's just very, very captivating. So yeah.
She's got like the ASMR thing figured out. Just
yes.
Like this. I think that this isn't an ASMR podcast.
No, we're not about to wreck our vocal cords doing that.
What do you think I've been doing yelling on this podcast?
But it's just so smart.
Yeah.
And I
just this is beautiful.
I love
and
this.
And she does add so much to just like the
the drama of it and the character and the WWE-ness of it all. So I'm a fan. And I'm thinking that, you know, maybe this is Karrion Kross's moment. But then again, we did see him have a moment before getting injured a while back now. So I could imagine it. He deserves the spot. And let's switch it up. Finn Balor's been in that position for a while. It's Mania week. Let's do something big. Let's cross that one off the list. Dad joke.
Right. So, yeah. So, hopefully, we see a Cross win. All right. So, next, we have the Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly unsanctioned match. I think it's like a hold harm. I don't know. Again, we talked about it. They keep coming up with all these names for a no disqualification match. This is a no disqualification match. They called it an unsanctioned match. I think they've signed a hold harmless agreement or something. I don't know, but
I don't understand any of that. Where, like, who's getting sued in the WWE universe? That's not, you signed your contract. Right. It's not like there's precedent, like some big legal battle where now they're like, oh, we need to get our contracts in place. Like, no, but yes, the stipulation is it's an unsanctioned match, aka no disqualification match. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of intensity and fire here. It's so funny because looking at a lot of night one, and maybe it's just the order we were talking through things, but I was just kind of like, oh, that's a match. These are all great matches. NXT always shines and puts on great matches. But wow, I've loved Kyle O'Reilly in the last couple months, especially. And we kind of dove deep a little bit on KOR when Grace Leader was on a couple months back. But I'm ready for it. I want to see Kyle O'Reilly glow up in this situation. I think it's his time. We've had so much of Adam Cole, and we're seeing a star being built with Kyle O'Reilly. And I hope that it continues to build.
I agree. They are putting everything into this match. We have like five clips for just the past 2 weeks in this match. So they're trying to make it feel like a big match. And you're right. It looks like they put a lot on night two, more so than night one. So I'm excited about this. I hope KOR wins. I'm excited to see where he goes from here. It's going to be so different seeing the UE like not together. So
yeah, there's a weird dynamic though. We talked about it before before last week. Yeah, the Roderick dynamic, where it's kind of like, what's the status of the group? Yeah. Because I mean, it seems to me like everyone could get back on the same page except for Adam Cole. You know, he even had his armband ripped off, so I think he's out. Yeah. But I would love to see the UE, the Undisputed Era, back at it again with the titles. So
I don't know. I don't know, is Bobby Fish really like injured again? Like, Bobby Fish gets injured every other year. I swear, I feel so sorry for
him. I'm not going to be the one to hypothesize about this, but he definitely has that big dad energy. And sometimes dads just need to sit on the park bench and take a rest, you know, maybe not pull a muscle. I don't know what's happening with him, but he's amazing too. And you know what? It always seems like somebody, I guess when you have four people, it's pretty easy to have someone, you know, out and injured, but hey, they're still phenomenal. And I think that's the great thing about the UE, that they could still go on and still have storylines. And, you know, they kind of, we're still seeing them go against each other. So I like that story is continuing after all of these years, which is just like insane to still see.
Yeah. Apparently he's been injured since December or something like that. So
what happened?
He tore his tricep muscle. What's that here? Yeah, he had to undergo surgery for it. His elbow. So, right after War Games, at War Games, yeah. So that really sucks. Reattached his tricep. Yeah.
Wow.
So, and he was on TV though. He was on TV. I guess he just wasn't doing much. I could have sworn he was on TV at least. So, yeah, he's out. So the KOR, he has to be a singles competitor. After taking down Adam Cole, he has to do some single competitiveness. I guess I'm most afraid for Roddy, because he was floundering before getting into the UE, and then as soon as he got into Undisputed Era, he was just flourishing, and I love Bad Guy Roddy, and I'm just scared for him once the group is really gone. So we'll see what happens, but this is going to be a really good blow off match, definitely. Next, we're going to go into the NXT Cruiserweight Championship match, Santos Escobar versus Jordan Devlin. And this one I like this, because again, Jordan Devlin was the NXT Cruiserweight champion, right? Mm-hmm. But he is a NXT UK wrestler. When the shutdown happened, he was stuck on the other side of the pond with the belt. What they did was they said, well, we need a champion. We need our Cruiserweight champion for our, 205 Live. So they had a tournament or something. I can't remember what it was, but Santos Escobar ended up winning the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. And it's been, I think he's had it for a few months now. And so Santos Escobar has been running 205 Live. He's been having great matches. Him and Legado del Fantasma have just been amazing. And so Jordan Devlin finally came back holding his championship. So now we have both titles, both championships. And Shawn Michaels silently put that ladder into the ring to suggest a unification match, a ladder unification match between Jordan Devlin and Santos Escobar. And
Did we miss something? Shawn Michaels, I mean, I get. So I was kind of thrown off when Shawn Michaels came down to the ring. He, he pulls out the ladder, and I get that we know he works behind the scenes at NXT, but he's Shawn freaking Michaels. It should be a bigger deal when he shows up. And are we going to see him involved in the match in some way? Like, I get his legacy with the ladder matches. Yeah, but
it's just a callback. All it is, it's a callback to him versus Diesel at WrestleMania 10 in the first ladder match for the Intercontinental titles. It's literally that exact same situation. They both thought they were the Intercontinental champion. They had the first ladder match to see who was the real champion. And it's just, that's all it is. Just a little Easter egg for people.
We'll take it. I'm just used to like Shawn Michaels big return type of thing, because he's at that level. And he usually says words when he's there. He's good on that mic. But hey, I'll take it. I'll take it the way it is. Whatever we get a shot.
Exactly, and that's all it is. It's just it's just a little bit of fan service. It's for those the in the know hardcores. That's all they wanted to do.
But that match, that ladder match, I think mostly for me. I mean, to your point, I love the double championship thing, because that is like, it's not even contrived. It's just real. Like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. And then it's a ladder match. What? I love like the ladder match. Yeah. Okay, they better put that championship way up high, and so we get those 20-foot ladders out this time. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
I'm excited. I'm really excited for this, because I can't wait to see this match. I'm a sucker for ladder matches.
Both of the championships. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, I want that visual. I'm ready. I'm excited for this. I think maybe I wasn't as excited for this match about 2 minutes ago, but I'm pumped. I want that. Yeah. I just want that double champion. And then Jordan Devlin, a couple years ago, I remember seeing a special on the network that was the match was Jordan Devlin versus Finn Balor. And I actually might go back and watch it. I'm writing that down, because whoa, like there's so much potential here, and I want to see them in the ring again. So I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know if Finn Balor could end up in the Cruiserweight Championship picture, but give me Jordan Devlin with the win, and give me a match with him and Finn Balor or something. I don't care. Just give me that great wrestling and that ladder action.
I'd love to see it, honestly. And then we got the NXT. This was literally just put on the card. I almost missed it because it was so new. But it's the NXT mm-hmm. Women's Tag Team Championships. Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon are the current champions after taking it off of Dakota and Raquel.
On the first night they had them.
Yeah.
When they were given the champion. That's a choice. Yeah, I don't right. know. I still have a sour taste in my mouth for that from that one.
Very much. Wow. I hate resume padding personally. So
yeah.
clearly.
I mean, do you think really that's what that was? Or do you think it was kind of just a situation?
I think that was resume padding. I think it was resume padding. They put like they're trying to push Raquel Gonzalez. She won the Dusty Rhodes. She is now in the history books as the inaugural NXT Women's Tag Team Champions, even though they only had it for an hour. It's clear resume padding. Like, yeah.
not great. Like, there's always the asterisk, like, so they never successfully defend the championships. They were given them, and they had them for about all of 45 minutes. But
the asterisk don't necessarily go into the history books when WWE is the one making those history books.
In defense of them, to contrast what I just said, like, it's great to be the first NXT Women's Tag Team Championships. Like, sure, they are champion. Well, first of all, they were the tag team champions. So we were talking about how tag team championships just don't mean a lot in WWE. But yeah, good for them. Good. Yeah. I like Dakota Kai. And we got this match. And
so this match is between Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon versus The Way, which is Candice LeRae and Indi Hartwell. Candice LeRae and Indi Hartwell were taken out of the semifinals by Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So these teams have a lot of history together. Candice LeRae and Indi Hartwell picked up a win against some of the new girls. And then they issued a challenge to Shotzi and Ember. Shotzi and Ember came out on the little tank and they accepted. So this is why we're getting the Women's Tag Team Championship match. Shotzi and Ember just got these titles, like we just specifically just said. But The Way, Candice and Indi are a part of Johnny Gargano's stable. Johnny Gargano is the current North American champion. What is the point of stables if you're not going to have multiple championships on the stable? So it might make sense to put the championships on The Way. However, I wouldn't like that because that would be three different tag team champions within a four week period.
Yeah, no. We're not.
We are not doing that.
That's one thing we're not doing. We're not flipping these championships. I'm putting all of my money on Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon because while I do appreciate Indi Hartwell, Candice LeRae a lot more when it comes to character work,
yes,
I just feel like Ember Moon especially just deserves better. Like, she is the thing is, she had so much like fire behind her, so much fandom behind her. And then they just didn't really pull the trigger on her properly. And yet just her in-ring action is electric. And yet we haven't really seen it. So I want to see them give Ember especially the time. And then, you know, WWE clearly loves Shotzi. The fans love her. So
very much.
Let's get that. But we need them to be built. We need to see more of their characters and who they are. But Ember especially, I just want so much better for her. And I want her to also have the time to like come into her own. I don't think she's there yet.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with everything you said.
Finally.
It's like after 12 episodes. It's like the whole pod. Oh my god. Yeah, so we'll see what happens. We're both team Shotzi and Ember. And then finally, like we said, the NXT North American Championship, whoever wins that gauntlet eliminator on night one faces Johnny Gargano for the North American Championship. So it's okay. It's okay.
Do you think that Gargano is going to lose the championship, regardless of who it's against? Do you think he's going to lose it or?
I don't know. I honestly think it depends on who he's against because.
I guess it does.
I really, unfortunately, I think it does. I mean, he's had it for a while. He's had that title for a while, and I don't think he needs it. The way, all the stuff with the way, we haven't really been covering it, but all of their character stuff, like you said, have been really good. So I don't really think he needs it, but does Cameron Grimes need that title right now? Not really. Does Dexter Lumis? Not really. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, if it's Isaiah Swerve Scott, I would like to see it. If it's Leon Ruff already had it. Johnny took it away from Leon. So,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like is Bronson Reed ready for that? Yeah, I don't know. Exactly. Maybe. And so
this is the thing about NXT where they could literally put the championship on anyone
and then go from there.
I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but it's like, let's build a star. And I'm okay with them taking a chance on whoever they want to, but I don't see it in Bronson Reed. Right. I mean, he's a big boy, but I don't think he's winning that first match. And, you know, just with the people we predicted, if it's Cameron Grimes, I don't see him beating Johnny Gargano.
Right.
If it's Dexter Lumis, that continues a really great story.
Does,
So maybe he does win. And then, LA Knight, Swerve Scott.
Dexter doesn't need the title, but because of the continuing feud, it would make sense if he took the title off of John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
LA Knight though, LA Knight's kind of a toss up. Like I could see him winning that just because so they can build him.
Steel.
Exactly. Doesn't make sense. So I don't know. I guess the answer to all of these questions is I don't know. I guess we'll see. We'll really see if he retains or not.
Them's the breaks, and that's wrestling. That's wrestling for you.
And that's the highlights of the week. That is all of our highlights of the week. If you want to watch along with us, you can click in our show notes and you'll see the highlights playlist. Matt, it's time to get out of here. We have so much stuff to prepare for WrestleMania week. I will be seeing your face very much, very often this week, and I'm not complaining at all. And our, like you said, our audience will finally get to see our faces as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they must. They probably don't even know what we look like by now. We're breaking the fourth wall. You know what? I mean, if they want, they could just listen. They could just listen to the audio version of Issa Luck, picture it if they have vivid imaginations. But we're going to be back with Bryce, baby boy Bryce of the Purple Pants podcast next week. That's going to be exciting to podcast with Bryce.
Yeah.
And then we have a lot of other stuff that we plugged at the top of the episode. Mari, what is all that they could expect next week? So we have this episode dropping to start WrestleMania week, basically. Yep. We have Issa Luck coming up around mid next week. Then we have our podcast prepping for Mania, right before Mania, probably coming out on that Friday.
Our big WrestleMania preview podcast. You got to give it nice branding, like the huge WrestleMania preview podcast.
The WrestleMania preview podcast coming out the end of the week on a Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, my voice is, this better make it to WrestleMania. That's all I'm saying.
I know. I hope so too. I don't want you out here like pantomiming stuff and I got to talk by myself.
ASMR podcast.
Oh, God. And then, like we said, we will be doing stereos directly right after WrestleMania night 1 and 2, which will be WrestleMania Saturday or WrestleMania Sunday. So please come and hang out with us there on stereo so you can submit your audio questions and you can be heard on the podcast.
Yeah, that's it. And then Matt, the other thing, well, people could find me at Matt Scott GW, but I would also just say on Twitter, on our reviews, let us know that you love us, that you want this podcast back, not just for our egos, but because we are looking ahead
at the future of this podcast, not because we suck, but because when we initially talked about this podcast, we were planning to go through Mania. And so we want to come back. Let us know. Let RHAP know that you want us back if you do. And if you don't want us back, also let us know. And we will, we probably won't listen, but just let us know. Let us know what you think, and you can leave a review. You can leave us 5 stars. We have the Wrestling Rehap Up feed. We also have the reality TV Rehap Ups feed for RHAP. And finally, you can find me in the patron group. So easy to find. We're all over the place. Mari, where are you? And do you have any exciting podcasting coming up?
So, yes, you can find me at Mari Talks Too Much on Twitter and on Stereo. Follow me on Stereo so you can get notified every time I go live. You can all, again, email us at wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. Tweet us, #WrestlingRehapUp on Twitter. And yes, I will be on The Circle. I'm excited about doing the Circle UK. I will be back for BB Can coverage all season. I'm doing BB Can coverage, and then you know I might pop up on your favorite podcast here and there. So,
Mari, you know what their favorite podcast? If they made it to this point in the episode, unless they're just bored, I'm just saying this might be their favorite podcast.
We'll see.
So, I don't know. Honestly, probably not. Let's be real. But we appreciate you listening this far and being supporters. Yeah. And I want to apologize for Mari being the cause of the breakup of the Hurt Business.
Oh, whatever.
And thank you, Vince McMahon, for tuning in. We really appreciate you learning how cell phone and podcast apps work. We appreciate you, listening to us because we know you're a fan listening in your McMansion. Come on, Greenwich, Connecticut, or wherever you're from. We've got it. Thank you.
Well, I think that wraps it up, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Wrestling Wrap Up. And as always, watch out for any flying elbows. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.